Hi, I'm Joe Flynn. For a great deal on tires, just drive in any Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Or you can just call us.
Remember, Flynn's does more than just tires. From brakes and mufflers to scheduled maintenance and general repairs, Flynn's does it all. Go to FlynnsTire.com for money-saving coupons.
For dependable tires and expert service, go to Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Visit FlynnsTire.com to request an appointment.
And tell them Finney sent you.
These teams is good, solid offensive line play. Their defense has always been a hard-hitting defense.
This is Blitz Live.
Welcome to Blitz Live, presented by Flynn's Tire and Auto Service, the best way to plug into Valley football as it happens. Need tires? Call Flynn's first. Flynn's is your hometown tire and auto service experts. Flynn's Tire and Auto Service makes buying tires easy. It is week two here in the Valley, ready to go for some more high school football action. I'm Dom Joseph, joining me. Welcome back, Greg Goulis. Glad to have you back. And the newcomer, Eric, how do I say this? Ungaro.
That's it, right?
Okay.
There.
I want to make sure I got it right.
I won't take it personally.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very happy to have you
thank
with
you.
Us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, and so we're ready to go here. We're going to bring you the preview of every single game coming up tonight. We have a lot of really good action for you in the Valley this weekend. So we're going to kick it off here. First matchup is two 1-0 teams, Berkshire at Grand Valley. What do you see here, Greg?
Well, Don, here you go. Burton, head coach John DeWeese, they beat Painesville Harvey last week, 36-23. But the key here right there is they were up. They needed 10 fourth-quarter points in order to come back and win. Grand Valley wins their home opener against Jefferson Area 34-6. They're only up 6-0 at the half, so a lot of second-half antics by both teams.
That definitely helps a coach going into the next week. That kind of, you know, that momentum that you got going on in high school football, that's hard to duplicate.
Absolutely. So now next up we have the 0-1 Bexley going into Campbell Memorial.
So the Lions lost their home opener against Harvest Prep 32-21. It still amazes me, Eric, that I go through an entire season and I still find a team I've never heard of, Harvest Prep. So it's their second straight road game. Campbell Memorial is coached by Butch Jennings. Butch Jennings was the head coach at Valley Christian last year. He loses the opener to Valley Christian, but here's what they have in their packet, in their back pocket this week. They're inviting the old-time cheerleaders to come back, help everybody root them on. So it's game number two for Butch Jennings. The old cheerleaders may bring them a W this week.
Yeah, I could see that. So if I had to guess, you're going to have a lot of Greek cheerleaders standing on the sidelines. That might be enough to put the Red Devils over the top.
There you go.
It's got to be very exciting out there in Campbell. Next up, we have the Borman Spartans coming off a big win against East. Against Howland, who came off a tough loss.
Well, the Spartans did their job last week in the opener. They did exactly what they needed to do. They wanted to win at home. They win 26-6. This is their first road test of the year. Eric, you know a little bit about Howland. Howland's not a bad ball club, although they did fall to Lakeview last week 14-9. This is their first of two home games to start the year.
Yeah, and I think one thing that it has to be said out there, especially for all the coaches, in my opinion, Borman's one of the better teams around. So, you know, I think Howland going into it is going to be an underdog. But, you know, that's why you play the game, so we'll see how it plays out.
Absolutely. Next up, the Brookfield Warriors and the Springfield Tigers. Springfield defeating South Range, ending their undefeated regular season streak, and going up against Brookfield. What do you see here?
You know, several years ago, this game would have had a lot more luster. We both know Randy Clark with the job he's done at Brookfield. Last week, they lose 48-14 in McDonald. Springfield local under Sean Guerrero, they defeat South Range. Big win for them, 20-13. They also lost to the Warriors last year, 23-14, so they may be smarting from that loss a year ago.
Again, I think Springfield, as far as small schools, them and Western Reserve are two of the better schools around, potentially even in the state. So I like Coach Clark and I like Guerrero, so I just hope it's a good game.
Both YSU guys.
That's right. It. That's what I mean.
I think both teams have something to prove here coming into this weekend. Now, Campfield, coming off a big win last week, they are going to Alliance. What do you see here?
Well, before we get into the game, I'd like to say Greg Cooper is one of my good friends, and the fact that they found him a liver is a tremendous thing, and good luck to Greg. He's one of the nice guys around. You know, Mike Pavlansky, year in and year out, just does a heck of a job, okay? They win their opener against Louisville 21-14. They're 12-1 last year. They only allowed 100 points last year. But they shut out Alliance 34-0, so it looks like the defense is still on track from a year ago. You take Alliance 0-1. Now, in my infinite wisdom and my picks, I picked Alliance to beat Hubbard. They only lost by 50-some, so don't follow my picks this week. They're coming off that 63-13 loss at Hubbard, so I look for Canfield to win.
Yeah, this you don't want to say if there's a for sure, but this is about as close as you're going to get.
Absolutely. Now, Champion is on the road at Rittman.
Well, we do have a good friend at Champion who's our head coach. He was at Lowville when I was there. You know him really well. They lose a heartbreaker, 18-15 to Jeff Baig. And I think if anybody has a chance to pull a game out like that, it's Jeff Baig, the old general. They scored just 73 points last year, Champion did. They've already scored 14 this year, so maybe they changed that and turned it around a little bit. The Indians beat Richmond Heights 17-8 in their opener. It's their first game of the first home game of the year.
Hey, listen, like you hit it. Coach McGlynn's a good guy. If you're going to lose to somebody, losing to Baig isn't that bad, but you just got to lick your wounds and move on.
Now, Cleveland JFK is coming into town to face South Range, who's coming off again a tough loss to their rival Springfield.
And you know, Eric, I think it's always been said that the greatest improvement you make is between week one and week number two. So Cleveland JFK, the Fighting Eagles, lose to Dover 54-0. They're still looking to try to score. South Range, on the other hand, won't have a problem scoring. It's just a matter of what's going to happen here. You know, Yeagley is one of those veterans. He's a crafty guy. Last year they go 13-1. 13-1, they make the playoffs. And after 13 straight wins, they have to find a way to break a two-game losing streak now.
Listen, it's going to be real simple. Coach Yeagley had those guys back. They'll be ready. They'll be back on track just to start getting some points to head down that road into the playoffs.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can't agree more. Now, East Liverpool is going to Indian Creek.
East Liverpool, the Potters under Josh Ledwick beat Shadyside at home 14-7 in their opener. Indian Creek wins their opener 35-28 at home over Cambridge. So it's a battle of the unbeatens.
And definitely it's a battle down there on the river. So definitely we're going to see how that plays out. And it's only week two, but you start talking about points at this stage. Who's going to win, who you got to beat, and you know who are your games that you got a 50-50 shot at.
And at some point in time this year, I had Champ Summers try to tell it to me last year. You're going to tell it to me this year. After doing all these high school games all these years, I still want to know how all these points and the secondary points and the third tier points and the ninth tier points figure into the equation.
Hey, that's why they got Joe. It's like
Joe Eichel.
It's like figuring out school funding. They keep it that way so nobody knows.
Or my GPA, one of the two.
Absolutely. Now, next up, you wanted to mention Columbiana.
I did, as a matter of fact. And Columbiana this week lost a very, very good booster, a good friend, a guy by the name of Jeff Heaton, 57 years old. He was Mr. Columbiana. They buried him today, and our sympathy to the Heaton family. I talked with Aaron Heasley today, the athletic director, and they just love him. Everybody loved him. So Columbiana has a heavy heart going into the game today. They lost last week 27-12 to Western Reserve. It's their first road game of the year now. They go up against McDonald, who's 1-0. Now, McDonald last year was 6 points away from a perfect season. Their first loss came at the hands of Columbiana, yeah. And that was, I believe, 38-37 in overtime after they went into the fourth quarter with the lead. So I think it's a coin flip. They're at McDonald's, so maybe McDonald does have that edge.
And again, I'm not going to keep reiterating this, but points are a must right now. You know, you look at their schedules, they have some teams that could go potentially 2-8, 1-9. This is a money game right here.
Yeah, absolutely.
This early.
Absolutely. Now, next up, the East Palestine Bulldogs and Western Reserve. This should be a good one.
Now, the Bulldogs lose to Salem 38-21, and, you know, they've got a quarterback under center. 4 years ago, we were looking at four freshmen. Okay, Parker Sherry was one of those quarterbacks down at East Palestine who, as a freshman, kind of, you know, shifted the tables and the tide down there. He's going to have to shift it this week because Western Reserve coming off that road win at Columbiana, it's their home opener. Andy Hake, he might be the only guy more excited than the entire team.
Hey, listen, I love Andy, only in America, and it's going to be tough. I mean, they got it going out there. I tell you what, I got a better appreciation watching small school football. Those guys are coached up. They got more kids on their team than Boardman, and they only got maybe 100 in the whole school.
And I'm going to agree with that.
Yes,
absolutely.
I'm telling you, it's nuts.
Absolutely. Now, next up, Erie and Austintown Fitch. Fitch is coming home for their season opener at home.
Austintown Fitch will play two Erie teams this year. On October 12th, they'll play Erie McDowell like they did last year. Erie, the Royals lost to McKeesport last week, 45-26. Fitch, we know what Phil Anarella does year in and year out. They beat Hudson on the road last week, 20-9.
Coach Anarella is one of the best around, quality guy. You got to roll with Fitch on this one.
Absolutely.
I think it's pretty much a no-brainer there.
Yeah, now this is the game that everyone's been talking about all week. This is a huge matchup. Gerard and Hubbard, who do you pick in this one? This is going to be a close one.
Well, it's AAC Blue in Gerard against AAC White against Hubbard. Now, we know what Gerard did last week, and we also have the player of the week in Mark Wade, quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mark Wade helped beat Niles 49-13 last week in their opener. This is their second straight road game to start the year. Niles, on the other hand, defeats Alliance by the 50 that I didn't give in my pick. They played three of their first four at home. Now, they went 5-5 last year, but after beating Alliance 63-13, looks like they have it together on both sides. I took Hubbard, but it's a toss-up.
I don't think it's a toss-up. I mean,
really?
Believe me, I like both coaches. I just think Hubbard's honed in right now. And I know Wade got Player of the Week. Little Masseur over there on defense, I think those guys are going to be jacked up, flying around. And, you know, they got about, I don't want to call them the academy, but they got about 7-8 guys eligible this year, so they got it going.
Message to Pat Pearson. Eric says.
That's about to tell him. Message to Cochran. Tell Cochran that. He's the offensive coordinator again this year. You got an All-American quarterback.
Now, this should be another good matchup coming up at 7:30 tonight at YSU, Archbishop Hoban and Cardinal Mooney.
Well, that's going to set the tone of the weekend at Stambaugh Stadium because YSU plays Butler the following day. Archbishop Hoban, we know, is led by the Timmy Terrell from Ursuline High School. They're the defending state champions. They beat Cleveland St. Ignatius on the road last week. Now, that's a task in and of itself. Even though it's only 21-14, they'll play their first three and four of their first five games on the road this year, kind of like what Cardinal Mooney did last year. Now, Cardinal Mooney wins it's their second straight home game. They win last week, and they'll play five of their first six at home. So the changing of the tide, this is a big, big, big matchup. I took Cardinal Mooney, but it's going to be a lot. It's a big undertaking.
I'm a Youngstown guy. Hoban is... It's like playing a Big Ten team. I hate to say it. We played them 1 year. They got four linemen. They're all going to Iowa. I don't know what our time frame, but one thing to say about the Girard game. I mean, I do think Girard's going to score. You talk about points again. If Girard loses this game, you know, you look at their schedule, they're going to have a hard time gathering some points down the road.
Right.
Of some teams that are going to win or lose games for them. So,
yeah.
You know, it is big. But Hoban, no disrespect to PJ. Because they would probably beat anybody in the state. So
And I would hope the audience understands we're not picking against people.
Yeah. I don't want to go on the streets and start getting jumped.
I'm not going to tell you what kind of car I drive.
Absolutely. Now, next up, James Ford's Rhodes going up against Warren Harding. Harding coming off a tough loss to Canton McKinley.
Well, I talked to John Caparanis today, and he said the first half of that game last week, it was like it was a mirror image of the second half and the first half. In the first half, they looked disheveled. The second half, they looked like they could really play ball. Now, the Rams are coming off that season-opening loss to Maple Heights, 42-2. It wasn't even a grand slam home run.
No.
And they were 7-4 last year. But Harding, they lose 28-14. And if they can do what they have to do after the second half of the Kent McKinley game, then I think it should be a little bit easier.
It's the same thing. You give up a kickoff to start the game, you're shot for two quarters. Especially when you're playing a team like McKinley that got some studs. So Coach Arnold and those guys will get it together, and you know they're at home and they'll start getting that momentum going
right
for the second.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely think Warren Harding will finally get that momentum back in their favor. Moving on, Lakeview at Liberty. Lakeview had a big win last week.
Lakeview did have a big win. Now, we also know that what Tom Pavlansky has done at Lakeview. They win 14-9 over Holland. Liberty 0-1. Chet Allen loses their opener to Struthers 35-6. No embarrassment, but again, one has to continue. The other one has to find a way to get back into the winning situation.
And again, Lakeview is obviously the favorite going into this. It isn't the end of the world for Liberty if somehow they would trip up. But I think Coach Allen's going to have those kids playing hard. It's a little better matchup, at least physically and size-wise, this week.
Absolutely. Now, next up, Lisbon coming off a big win, going to Mineral Ridge.
Well, Lisbon under Alan Mikovic, they defeat Malvern at home 41-6. It's their first road test of the year. Mineral Ridge loses their opener to Pi Valley 36-34 in overtime. That's their second straight home game. They'll play 5 of 6 at home to start the season. So you better find a way to win those games, because once you go on the road, it's not a fun situation.
I think Mick is in good shape this week.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
My opinion.
Now, next up, the Louisville Rockets are taking on Wyndham, who really took it to Sebring last week.
Well, the Rockets, I have to tell you, Letonia, don't take Letonia lightly. But now with Paul Julia at the helm. Paul Julia did the job at Crestview. He did the job at Poland. He has done the job now at Letonia. You talk about a guy you want to you know, lead your program. He's that guy, and it's no embarrassment. I'm glad to see that they win 21-14 last week. Windham beat Sebring 51-0, but the problem with Sebring is they have a hard time scoring as well. And numbers prohibit that.
And I think Dougie just got to, you know, he's got to get over it real quick. He lost a game that he thought, you know, he had circled as a win. But like you said, Julio changes those dynamics a little bit. So you got to find a way to flip the switch this week and get that victory.
Absolutely. And you just mentioned Latonia. They're at home this weekend against Matthews.
And we could find them 2-0 after this week.
They will be.
Matthews is 0-1 coming off that 14-0 shutout at against Ashtabula St. John at home. They beat Latonia last year 62-25, and we know what Paul Julia just did. So I'm going to agree with both of you. I think they're 2-0 after this week.
You know what it is? It's about believing. And you know, so they might be a little undermanned in probably every game they play, but you know, you find a way to flip that switch and get those kids believing and working together with a proven coach like Julia. It could be dangerous.
As a football coach, do you want 11 starters where you need 11 footballs, or do you want 11 people that can work as a cohesive unit?
I play one coach angle, and I coach with them. I want 11 stars. You can figure out a way to get their attitude right.
Right.
Like Nick Saban. Oh, keep quiet. Yeah. Go out there and play.
Very, very Nick Saban indeed. Now next up, Newbury at Ashtabula St. John.
Well, the Black Knights lose their home opener to Fairport Harding 14-7. Ashtabula St. John, the Fighting Herald, beat Matthews on the road 14-0. It's their first home game of the year.
I think St. John's at home is going to be able to hang in there.
Absolutely. Now, next up, the Poland Bulldogs are heading to Niles, who are coming off that tough loss to Girard.
Right. It wasn't a very, very good opening game for Jim Perry at Niles, but it's a D3 in Niles going up a D4 against Poland. Poland wins their opener 17-14 on the road at Marlington. Niles needs to find a way to get back into the win column.
Again, we're going to talk points. Last week, Poland winning that game, even though it was Marlington. You look at Marlington's schedule, they potentially could be 8-2. That's a lot of points for Poland. This week, Niles is just going to run into a more physical team, I think. You know, it's going to go from like playing flag football with Girard a little bit out there to getting in a phone booth and getting Dave run down your throat.
Right. So now the Newton Falls Tigers are taking on the Jackson Milton Blue Jays.
Well, the Tigers win their opener at Waterloo 27-21. They won this game last year 20-13. Jackson Milton loses to Southington 10-7. Now they lead 7-0 after one. It's tied 7-7 at the half. And in the third quarter, the field goal for Southington wins the game. So they're having a hard time putting some points on the board.
Again, it's how quick could you erase that? It's just it. You get over it. Watch film, move on, get your mindset, and get ready to go to the next game.
Right.
That is a tough loss.
Yep, I agree. Now, next up, the Salem Quakers are at the United Golden Eagles. Where do you see this one going?
Well, the Quakers win 38-21 over East Palestine last week. It's their second road game in a row to start the year. They beat United 21-19 last year at home. And United has a new coach, D.J. Ogilvy. And D.J. was the athletic director last year, moved right into the position again, the former United coach. So, and he's one of the good guys in the area. I mean, we say that a lot, but D.J. truly is one of those good guys. And he's passionate about the game, and he cares. They win their season lead lifter at Minerva last week, 42-13.
I like the attitude again. I think he's bringing back that spark, and I think they're going to do well, and I think they'll do well tonight.
And if you remember his days at Boardman, he struggled those first 2 years, but when he got it going, he got it going.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, next up, the Sebring and Southington matchup. Where do you see this one going?
Well, the Trojans, you know, they do have a hard time scoring. They lose 51-0 in their opener to Windham. It's their first road test of the year. Last year, they only scored 78 points. That's only 7.8 points a game, and they lose to Southington at home 44-14 last year. So Southington beat Jackson Milton, as we just said, 10-7. They only scored 155 points, so, you know.
Yeah, I like Coach Palmer in this. I think Sebring's going to come out and play well, and I think he's going to have them ready because, you know, as long as it's a close game, low scoring, just got to go with the...
This might be one of the weeks where they have to find a way to
win. Something out, 7-6, 13-12, whatever.
Definitely. Now, the Struthers Wildcats taking on Crestview. Crestview took a loss last week that not a lot of people thought was going to happen.
You know, I did take Crestview, as a matter of fact, and Crestview loses to West Branch 48-35. But Struthers, and you know a little bit about Kurt Kuntz right there. Kurt Kuntz always has Struthers ready. I mean, they win 35-6 last week. They were 7-4 last year. It's their first road test of the game. He'll have them up.
And I agree. I always joke with him. I said, yeah, they were up for Liberty. You know, now Crestview, they got, again, points. You look at Crestview's schedule, they need this game.
Yeah,
I'm telling you,
definitely.
Look at their remaining schedule. You got a couple 2-3 win teams on there. You know, they're a proud program. But I do just think Strother's got a little bit too much physically and out there. But, you know, could get in the track meet. Anything could happen.
Right. So
one
terms,
fumble, anything.
In terms of points, do you think this is a make or break game for Crestview?
You never want to say that. Because, right. You know, somebody might surprise you and be like undefeated going into week six. But, hey, by historical standpoints, this is a big game. Because last week was a cash cow for
them. Yeah, definitely. All right, so now we are ready for our first call, and let's take it out to Brian Zenis, who's at the Ursuline East matchup. Let's hear what he has.
I'm Brian Zenis, Vinny Blitz, here at Rayen Stadium, where East hosts Ursuline in what is a gut check for both sides. Both these teams got beat pretty handedly last week and, you know, combined to score just 6 points in week one. All six of those points went to East, who got beat pretty decisively by Boardman. And Ursuline was shut out by Cleveland Benedictine 35-0. Ursuline's had it pretty rough since the offseason, losing a quarterback Glenn Griswold for the season before they even got through fall camp. This is a really young team, and they're facing an East side that's pretty experienced and a pretty senior-heavy team. If there was a time for East to get one on the Irish, now would be the time to do it. Reporting from Rayen, this is Brian Zenis, Vindy Blitz.
Where do you guys see the East Ursuline matchup going here?
Well, we're going to let you talk about your alma mater. Where do you see it going?
Yeah, John, maybe somebody throw something at you.
I would love to say that Ursuline just comes out and do what they normally do with East and go out there and get the win, but I honestly think East has a shot this year. I legitimately think East can go out there and just shock Ursuline. Now, Ursuline has handled them the last couple of years, but don't be surprised if the Golden Bears come out and take down the Irish.
You know, Rich Sheffis has done a nice job since he took over in the city for the athletic programs, and he's always had a high level of positiveness, okay, and he loved the Brian Merrill hire at East. One of their two wins last year for Ursuline was against East, 40-19. We know it's a gorgeous stadium, should be a nice atmosphere this week. You know, if East is going to catch Ursuline, they better catch him now. And if Ursuline is going to try to get back into the win column, they better do it this week.
Right. Again, I hate to say it, it comes out, who's erasing their memory quicker? Both of them got physically beat up pretty good week one. I think if East can get a little continuity, I talked to Morrow and Sheppes and those guys this week and Emil, if they can just get a little continuity on offense, sustain some drives in there, I think they'll be, you know, they're going to have a shot. But, I mean, still, statistically, Ursuline's a favorite.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, East played very well against Boardman. They
sure
were, they were able to stay with them.
Yep,
they sure did.
Absolutely. So now on to Warren JFK taking on LeBray, and LeBray looked very, very good last week.
They did. They beat Conneaut 41-0 to start their season. It's their second straight home game. They'll play four of their first five games at home this year. Jeff Bayek, the old master, pulls one out 18-15 over champion.
Again, LeBray on paper is more talented. I hate to say it. I think, you know, JFK's numbers are down a little bit, but hey, Bayek coached me. I coached with him. You can never count them out. So, but again, it's a big game. It's a cash cow right here because both these teams are going to win some games.
And you're kind of talking about this about Hubbard. I would say John Armini and LeBray definitely have something cooking over
there,
for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so now Wellsville is at Edison.
Well, Wellsville lost their home opener to Beaver Local 35-6, and Richmond Edison out of the Buckeye A Conference, the Wildcats, lost their home. This is their home opener, but they lost at Southern Local last week 39-13.
Again, it's who's going to bounce back, who's going to have that short memory and try to get it together this week.
All right, guys, and lastly, we have the West Branch Warriors taking on the Beaver Local Beavers.
And again, we didn't think that West Branch would do what they did to Crestview, but they did. They win 48-35. This is their first road contest. They'll open the season with three of their first games at home. This is their one road game. Beaver Local, on the other hand, beats Wellsville on the road 35-6. This is the first of two straight home games for them, for the Beavers.
I can tell you, I went and saw the scrimmage between West Branch, Gerard, and Struthers, their first one. And DJ got some big boys. I think this is kind of his year. You know, people have been kind of harping on him to kind of get it going in that right direction. I feel pretty good this year for West Branch.
Yeah, now, Greg, you wanted to mention the Saturday matchup as well?
We do have one Saturday game. Western Reserve Academy is 0-1. The Pioneers out of Hudson, Ohio, they lost their opener 41-6 to Louisville St. Thomas Aquinas. This is their second straight road game. They're going to Poland Seminary High School to take on Valley Christian. Valley Christian has the reigning defensive player of the week in Milan Square. Threw for a TD last week, had a two-point conversion in their 14-7 win. They're 1-0 going up against Western Reserve Academy tomorrow.
Yeah, I love a coach that'll put their quarterback at safety in a crunch time. I'm going with it.
Who's the best athlete on the field?
Right. That's it. Simple.
Right.
We should put Devion Smith. We had him. If it was the last play of the game, go stand at the goal line.
There you go.
Right. Yeah,
there you go.
Now we have our next call in. This is coming from the Boardman-Howland game. Let's take it out to Mike McLean.
This is Mike McLean for the Youngstown Vindicator reporting from Lombardo Field in Howland. Tonight the Howland Tigers take on the Boardman Spartans. Spartan Boardman's 1-0 and play so in the early part of season, and Howland is 0-1. Beautiful night in football. There'll be more later from Lombardo Field in Howland.
All right, so there you have it from the Boardman-Howland matchup. Now I want to go back to that. Just Howland really just got shocked last week, just really couldn't get anything going against Lakeview, and Boardman had a good game against East, but again, have we seen everything that we could from Boardman?
Well, did they get shocked, or was it that good of a game plan?
I think the thing is, bottom line, was a good game. You know, sometimes there is good games and somebody has to win. I think going into the year, though, like last year when we played Lakeview, you know, that's when they had their 30 seniors. That was their team. You know, we kind of shocked them week one. This year, a lot of people graduated on the offensive side of the ball from Howland, so I think they had some trouble moving the ball a little bit, which played into Lakeview's hands.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you got Pavlansky there. I mean, and Stevie Boyle, his first game coaching as a high school coach, it was just a good game that they came up short. I think they got the onside kick, had a chance to tie it, and, you know, couldn't put it through.
And being a coach, what is the biggest unknown going into week one? Is it the offense? Is it the defense? Is it your running game? Is it your passing game? Is it the fact that your line cannot dominate their line? What's the biggest unknown heading into game one?
Let me tell you this. You know what the biggest unknown is? It's not who you're playing, but make no mistake about it. Now, you go and play like Hoban, you don't know what your mindset is, because you're going up against a juggernaut. Is it better to win a game and blow somebody out and then all aspects look great? You know, you win 45-0, you think your defense is good, this and that. I think if you just had to use one word, is the attitude of the kids. How is their attitude going to be when they're under fire? Because practices aren't like the olden days with Angle and Anarell and those guys when you're beating yourselves to death and they're physically ready. So they go out there, all of a sudden, three plays, they're gassed. You know, how many guys you got going both ways? They're going to be able to, like, hang in there a series and not just get, you know, tortured. So I think those are the unknowns. But, man, scheduling today is everything in high school football, because it's the only sport where you got to earn your way into the playoffs. So teams are coming in cocky. Oh, we won 40-0. You know, and Hubbard could be one of them. Mm-hmm. Make no mistake about it. It might be better than Girard physically, but, you know, you come in a little big-headed, and next thing you know, you're thinking you're a little better than you are.
Right, and going back to the Hubbard-Girard matchup, as a coach, what are you telling Girard, knowing maybe Hubbard's got the advantage because of just how good they look on paper?
Believe me, Cochran and Pierce, them guys are going to have everything going. Mm-hmm. Five wides, backs coming out of the backfield. I mean, we played them there one year when they had one of their better teams. They had Dustin Haley and those guys, and, you know, they think they invented the five wide. Nick's over there. So you're right. At any moment, they can go out there and play Hubbard. Next thing you know, it could be 14-0 Girard.
Right.
Just based on a one stop, a fumble. You know, boom, we hit them on a screen pass, trick play, anything. So that's Hubbard's, or Girard's, in a no-lose situation. But they have their life at stake right now for points.
Nick Cochran is still the best quarterback at Youngstown State, never to win a national championship.
Oh, no doubt. 100%.
All around.
Not to
all
be
around,
racial,
everything.
I call him the best white athlete ever. He's a good friend of mine, so I can say that.
But I will say this much. Nick Cochran is no doubt one of the best all-around athletes ever to come out of the
ever, period. Mm-hmm.
Ever, period.
Yep, a phenomenal athlete.
He's going to give me 20 bucks later for saying that.
He gave me 50 already.
I'm going to up it, Nick.
So, I want to go back to the Howland Boardman game. You talked about, as a coach, what kind of you want to look at in terms of where you can make adjustments, but what are you telling Howland going into this game? What are you telling the team? Just, okay, yeah, forget last week. We're starting from scratch here. This is our chance to really set the tone this year for the season.
Yeah, I mean, again, you got to have a quick memory, because I'm not saying it was a bad loss, because it is Lakeview, it's Pavlansky, but you circled it as like, okay, this might be a 60-40 game. So now how are you going to get out of there? Because now you're going into a Boardman where you're going, oh boy, you know, this is one of the better Boardman teams they've had from a physical-looking standpoint. Huzika and those guys, I mean, those are men over there. So you just got to get the mindset, we got to do whatever we got to do to keep them out of the end zone, get into an ugly game. We got one of the best field goal kickers in the state, try to win it, whatever, 9-6.
Right. Yep, definitely. All right, well, the games are just starting to get underway here. And the Valley is rocking, ready to go, finally getting week two underway. So we're going to take our first break as these games get underway. So thank you for tuning in. This is the Blitz Live presented by Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. We will be right back with some first quarter analysis as the scores come in.
Hi, I'm Joe Flynn. For a great deal on tires, just drive in any Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Or you can just call us.
Remember, Flynn's does more than just tires. From brakes and mufflers to scheduled maintenance and general repairs, Flynn's does it all. Go to FlynnsTire.com for money-saving coupons.
For dependable tires and expert service, go to Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Visit FlynnsTire.com to request an appointment.
And tell them Finney sent you.
We are Venture Salem. We produce the fascias, trim elements, and interior plastic components used on millions of cars today. We are a great place to start building a career from the ground up as a light industrial laborer, robotics operator, team leader, and more. Begin your career with Ventura Salem. Apply today at jobs.ventura.com. Ventura Salem, where careers are built.
Doug Daddish, Highland, Ohio. I was coached by the great Dick Angle. We came in together. Actually, he brought me in as a freshman at Highland and believed in me, and I started since my freshman year. Oh, that was 1998. It was kind of funny because Coach Angle, coming from Ursuline, had a very old school mentality that I don't think I was necessarily ready for coming into it, but he told me he'd give me a shot and believed in me, and I actually took a senior's job, and I thought I was just going to play center, and then the first game, our guy in front of me on defensive end got hurt, and I ended up playing both ways. So from the jump, I played both ways. Throughout the time we were Coach Angle's tenure, we started with 2 wins, we went to 4 wins, we went to 6 wins, and then finally my senior year, we got to 7 wins. And we were a pretty good football team. Now, mind you, we only threw the ball, I believe, 50 times in that entire year. So we weren't exactly a passing thing, but we had a couple really good tailbacks and a great offensive line. We had probably an average of 270 pounds up front. Obviously, I went to Ohio State. A couple other guys went and played in college. And everybody else was just tough. And we had played together for 3 years plus. We also had Maurice Smith, who ended up playing at Michigan State, and I think he transferred to YSU. We had Tony Davis on that team. Mark Reck was our leading tailback. He had over 1,000 yards. I think we had two backs over 1,000 yards. And we just had been playing together so long that finally it kind of clicked. And we also had a great defense led by Coach Ungaro, where enough guys had enough players that we were big and athletic, and he would just send us and we'd go. And it was a great time. We ended up making the playoffs for the first time in forever. And we went up to Green and got our absolute butts kicked by Green. And, you know, it was great that year for me personally. At the time, it was kind of weird being put on a pedestal, but I had committed to Ohio State the summer before, I believe. So I had already committed to Ohio State all the way through that year. So every week I was getting everybody's best shot and all these different things. And then finally after the year, I guess I played good enough on defense because I got Defensive Player of the Year for the state of Ohio. Probably the most impactful game of my high school career was against Lakeview my freshman year. I played against a guy by the name of Ben Crow. Shout out to Ben Crow. I don't know where he is these days, but he beat the ever-living crap out of me. So much so that I questioned ever playing football ever again. And he was the nose tackle, and he was also the tight end, and I was playing center and defensive end, so it was just a constant battle. And he beat me down to the point of, like I said, me not wanting to play football anymore. And one of the coaches, who's Joe Nora, looked at me afterwards at the game and said, "Hey, if that's what you want your legacy to be, you better quit now. But if you want to learn from this, this is going to be one of the most pivotal moments in your life." And I sat there on the bus on the way home from Cortland. Thank God it wasn't a long drive because I was in a bad mood. But I sat there and thought about it, and it renewed everything in me. And I've still thought about that butt whipping I took from him for years to come. And no matter what I've done in football, I've never got my butt kicked worse than that. So that's probably the most impactful moment in my high school career. So I would have to tell the young guys today, which would not be myself, get after it. You know, really dominate people. Not try your best, but dominate somebody. Really put it in there. Know what that feels like to impose your will on somebody, because that is a very, very important lesson. when somebody actually beats the crap out of you, what do you do? Are you going to lay there? Or are you going to get up and get after it? If you're going to lay there, that's a good lesson to learn, because now you know that you are going to lay there. So figure it out with your life then. But if you have the ability to get up and get after it and go after it again, that teaches you everything. So in life, when the chips are down, you know you can get after it. What's important to me today is my family, number one. I got a son. He was actually born on the Michigan game almost 2 years ago. He came a little early. We were supposed to be at the Michigan game because my 2016 was being honored. And he was born the day of, which was a unique experience to have the kid in Michigan. It was really cool. So my family's important. And then the other thing that's important to me is living my life to the best of my ability, right? So what does that mean? From a physical standpoint, obviously taking care of physical fitness is something that was bred into me through football, but also bred into me through my grandfather. My grandfather was a physical fitness freak. My grandmother's a physical fitness freak. Doing Jack LaLanne from the 50s, I mean, aggressively doing it well. And optimizing yourself health-wise. As important as your physical side is, your mental side is equally as important. So I try to work on my mental health. I had to learn that skill. After football, there were some issues with, you know, depression and all that stuff where you've worked so hard in your life, and unfortunately my career was cut short by injury, and you're just, all of a sudden you're at the pinnacle of everything, playing great, doing your whole thing, and then something catastrophic happens and you go away. And nobody tells you about that. Nobody says, hey, this is going to be great because football trajectory has been awesome. You were the best in high school, you were good in college, and now you're in the NFL, things are going great, and then bam, you're dead. Well, they don't talk to you about transitioning. So luckily enough, I found some people that could help me with that transition. I did that through therapy and talking about things and really working on myself mentally and seeing as strong as your physical component needs to be, your mental component needs to be. So along those lines, that led me to what I do today. What I do today is I own and develop drug and alcohol rehabilitation centers and detox centers. I don't think there's anybody that I've met that hasn't been touched by addiction. And it's a growing problem. It's probably the biggest epidemic that is in the United States today. And there's not really any great answers for it. We do a pretty good job. We do a good job and treat our people like people. And we treat them with wellness and mindfulness and all these different more holistic approaches. We decided to do something about it and start this business. And now we are taking those people and taking those phone calls. The only unfortunate thing is we're full. And we're going to be full. So we're in the process of developing more beds to help more people. And all those lessons I learned through football has been pretty applicable in business. And it's actually been a huge help because I feel like I've had a leg up in a lot of things. I grew up going to games at Ohio State, and because my dad played there and I was always around his friends and seeing those guys, I never really had a doubt that I would play at Ohio State or would have the ability to play at Ohio State for some reason. So growing up, I just envisioned that, and then it manifested itself. Now, it manifests itself through hard work and genetics and all these great things, but the bond that we have is something that's a little unique because there's only been, you know, 120 plus teams in Ohio State history. And each one of those people that you look at earned a letter, we all share the same thing. We all earned what we did. And having your dad be able to identify that is very, and understand what that is very powerful because, you know, you see parents that go through the recruiting process or whatever, and they just see, they don't know what it is, right? They don't know what to expect. They don't know what it is. My dad left me alone. I mean, I went to, he knew I was good enough and knew I had the drive and all those things. He didn't have to push me to do stuff. And in the recruiting process, let me make my own decision, which was really probably the best thing he could have done. If he just would have said, you're going to Ohio State and all this stuff, you're 15, 16, 17-year-old kid, you're going to rebel against that. That's what's in your nature. I actually went to Michigan, visited Colorado, visited Tennessee, visited all these places, and eventually went to Ohio State because Tress. I mean, there's no way I'm not going to play for Coach Tressel, being from here and how great a guy he was. The 06 Michigan game was bizarre because there was so much focus and attention. I played in a number of big games. We played in Notre Dame. We played at Texas. We played Texas at home. But that one, it felt different for a lot of reasons. Number one, the Michigan game is never that time of day, which was a little weird, a little late. And the other side of it was you could actually feel the entire nation looking at you. And what do I mean by that? During the week, there's a lot of stuff that goes on during the Michigan week. There's the, you know, you do stuff with the band, you do stuff with boosters, you do stuff with all these different people. But the difference between this week and every other one of those weeks was there was every famous reporter, there was every newspaper, there was HBO filming the thing. I mean, it was bananas how much coverage there was with this game. And then the day of the game, you couldn't get away from it. It was on all the TVs, it was everywhere. The campus was just buzzing with emotion. So you felt everything, you know. And then on top of that, it's senior day for us, so senior day is emotional enough as it is, you know. And then it's 1 versus 2, so that's going on. The good thing about football is when the second the game begins, all that stuff kind of melts away because you're in a what I've discovered is a flow state. You know, you're just playing inside that moment. Stuff is slowing down. You've watched enough film. You've prepared all year. You're at this razor's edge. So the game itself is just like any other game, essentially. For me personally, the problem was I had a broken hand that game, and I was playing with a cast on, and I rolled one snap back, which was a very bad deal, and I had another bad snap, and I actually played pretty well throughout the game, but those were two very key plays that were a bad deal, and I was sitting there scared to death that I was going to be the reason why we lost the game. Scared to death. I mean, I was full of trepidation like crazy. The amount of relief that happened when we actually won the game, for me personally, was so aggressive that I actually broke down crying in the locker room because I was so just full of fear that I was going to be the goat, you know, scapegoat. And after that, I mean, we won the game. I was excited. There's fans everywhere. It just was crazy on the field. But then as soon as I got back to the locker room, I had to beat to myself. Like I said, I broke down crying. And Coach Tress came up to me and he's like, "What's the matter with you?" And I go, "Coach, I almost lost the game for us." He's like, "That doesn't matter at all." And he goes, "We won. That's all that matters." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And then I kind of perked back up and went and celebrated with my teammate. Coach Tress was one of the greatest human beings that's ever lived. He actually believes what he says, does what he says, and doesn't depart from that at all. He's an incredible guy. Now, every day at Ohio State, we had a thing called quiet time. So you have a book called The Winner's Manual. It's broken down into various things like love, respect, country, you know, whatever. There's all these different terms. Each day you go through one of those terms and read quotations and things, and those lessons are drilled into you day after day after day after day. So I still do quiet time. Coach Trussell's on Twitter. Every day he puts a quiet time quote out. I still do it. All my buddies still do it. And the amount of life lessons he taught you, how to be a man through football, not football to be a man. It was how to be a man first, then it was how to go through football. And just accountability is the biggest one for me. Do what you say you will do and do it at the best of your ability.
Need tires? Call Flynn's first.
Where the advertised tire price is the entire price. And tell them Finney sent you.
These teams is good, solid offensive line play. Their defense has always been a hard-hitting defense.
This.
Tire Review Magazine named Flynn's Tire and Auto Service as the independent tire dealer top shop in all of North America. So if you want confidence that your vehicle is in good hands, then go to Flynn's. Welcome back to Blitz Live, presented by Flynn's Tire and Auto Service, Dom Joseph, Greg Goulas, and Ed...
Eric, I'm here.
Eric. I'm getting it. I'm working on it. Eric.
Call him the coach.
Yes.
Coach, I'm here over there.
Yeah, I'm done here. Eric.
Yep.
Ungaro. Yeah, got it, finally. Well, first quarters are starting to come to an end. We're getting some scores in here. I just want to run a couple by you here real quick as we go. Ursuline and East are deadlocked at 7 apiece here. What do you think about that?
Well, again, we thought if East is going to catch Ursuline, this would be the week, and Ursuline needs to find a way to get back into the win column, and this is that week.
It seems like East scored and then Ursuline scored pretty quick, so I was asking you earlier, you know, how these teams scored is obviously... As coaches, you're asking, like, did they go down the field and shove it in, or, you know, how did it go?
So. Eric, you're in week number two, and Dom, the same thing. The mistakes are still out there. I mean, you're not a well-oiled machine yet.
No. Especially with the way practices are. the state tried to make it a lot more, you know, easy and more conducive for kids to play. So, like we said, you're not banging like you did in the olden days where right. you start getting hit, you fumble, you
But there's reason for that, too.
Well, absolutely.
I mean, I understand that part of the equation.
Yep.
Right. Now, LeBrea is up 6-0 on Warren JFK. So, LeBrea, again, as you mentioned, Eric, not sure if it was two field goals, which I doubt.
Yeah.
It was probably a touchdown and either a missed extra point or maybe a two-point conversion attempt that went bad. But either way.
And this person that's gold on your team is the guy that can do the conversion and punt deep into the end zone and a good punter. I mean, seriously, if you can convert your extra points, not have to worry about going for two, and find a way to kick that 25, 30, 35-yard field goal at the end of the game.
And that's what we were talking about, Howland. They got probably one of the better kickers in the state, so you're always got a shot, especially in a high school game.
But you also have to put them in position to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's the tricky part.
Absolutely. We talked about Crestview, lost to West Branch last week, looking to get back on top. They are up 7-0 against Struthers.
Is that a surprise?
It's not a surprise early. I talked to the coach's wife. It was a fumble return. So, again, you know, Crestview's playing for their life. They're playing with a lot of emotion. They're up there. Struthers comes in. We got a big win on Liberty. We think we're a little better than we are. Then all of a sudden, oh, we're in a game here.
Right.
So, absolutely. No, it's a surprise, yep. No, but it happened.
It happens.
Yep, it did.
Exactly. Now, Wyndham is up 7-0 on Lowellville. Now, remember, of course, they were playing Sebring last week, but Wyndham really took it to them, but up 7-0 early.
And again, are they still smarting at Lowellville after that loss to Laetona?
Talked about
right
that.
You know, it's not like baseball. You lose on a Monday, you're back on Tuesday to play again, and you reel off 6 or 7 in a row, and all of a sudden the week that started out terrible ends up pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Over here you're taking 7 days to recover,
and unless you hit the ground running on Monday, get that game plan in place, or you start feeling sorry for yourself, it's a long could be another bad
right.
week.
Yep. And this one actually just came in moments ago. Boardman up 7-0 on Howland.
Yeah, and it was a pick six, so that's just the information that we got. So, again,
early, again, a recovered fumble, pick six.
Yep.
Now, we actually have Bob Ettinger, who is standing by with this update. Let's hear it.
This is Bob Ettinger from the sideline at Stambaugh Stadium, where Cardinal Mooney hosts Akron Hoban tonight. Hoban, coached by Youngstown native Tim Terrell, is coming off a victory over St. Ignatius in week one, while Mooney is coming off a victory over St. Joseph's of Ottawa, Canada. Kickoffs ahead, Mooney hosts Akron Hoban.
It's the only 7:30 start, so.
Yeah, so
that'll be the only
I just
one
wanted to double check too as well. But
that might be
a Hubbard score.
Okay.
Hubbard's up 7-0.
All right, well, there you go. So what do you think about that?
Well, it doesn't surprise me. Again, they're at home, okay? What do you have to do? You have to hold court at home. You have to can't break service.
Absolutely.
It's that simple.
Now, I'm looking through here. Just want to double-check here as we have the whole list of games. Want to make sure nothing has changed. I had to double-check the update on Boardman. Now, again, you mentioned Hubbard 7-0 on Girard. Western Reserve up 7-0 on East Palestine.
No surprise there.
They got a machine going right now.
Yeah, I think Reserve is definitely a force to be reckoned with this year. And East Palestine coming off the loss to Salem.
You know, let's talk about some of the ball players that have gone Division One over the past several years. You know, at Howland, you had Davion Smith at Michigan. You had L.J. Scott at Michigan State. These guys are guys that have and they continue to do so. So it was a 5-5 season last year for Brian Hoffman was a very un-Eagle-like season.
Yeah. Well, and I think the thing is they did running back didn't play last year. He's back this year. I mean, those are players that if they get into game shape, they're guys that could play anywhere in this valley. So, you know, it was a tough year for them. They had a couple close losses, but, you know, they're feeling pretty good right now.
Right, absolutely. Now, just had it a moment ago. Yes, Indian Creek up 6-0 on East Liverpool. So, does that come as a surprise to you? I thought in that game.
Yeah.
It's early.
It's early. It's early.
But again, the six tells me, is it two field goals, which I highly doubt?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't make your extra point, or was it a two-point failed conversion? again, I still think the kicker, the place kicker, is
absolutely
gold.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know,
especially on this level.
At the end of the game, you're sitting there, oh, my God, do we go for two? Do we go for what? You know, and then it's crazy. If you just make your extra points.
Right. Eric, you might remember this. I happened to cover the Boardman-Maslin game about 5, 6, 7 years ago, maybe longer than that. Boardman had a young man by the name of Andrew Good, place
mm-hmm.
kicker.
Oh.
He kicks like a 45-yard field goal to send the game into overtime. And at that point in time, DJ's the head coach.
Yep.
They had no business being on the field with Maslin at that time.
Right.
But then they have him, and they lose in overtime. But what a game it was. I mean, you got a game on the line, and Andrew Good just calmly. I'm not so sure they returned 5 kickoffs the entire year because all he did was put them in the end zone.
Put them in the end zone. It's huge. I mean, even the years we were good at Howland, Coach Engel would always find a good soccer player to come out, give him a shot, and you know, those balls go in the end zone. You're digging up on the 20 and get them punting down, pinning
right.
them. It's a big difference going 80 yards.
And I would even bring up during my time at Ursulin, every time we played Cardinal Mooney, Zach Kennedy was the same way. The
yeah.
current kicker at Youngstown State,
mm-hmm.
every single kickoff was either back of the end zone or even through the goalpost.
Yeah,
just, he had an incredible leg for his age at that time. And look at him now. He's a Division I kicker.
I'm still waiting for the rule to come out. And when you're going to kick off, if it goes through the goalpost, you can get a point or two.
Yeah, right.
I want that rule to take place.
Hey, coaches will take it a lot. Because most coaches today, seriously, even Ignatius, for as good as they are, they got 150 people on the team, 150 kids on the team. They squib kick it. They pooch it. Special teams and say, hey, look, just don't kick to those guys. Especially when you're playing like McKinley or Hardy, guys with some skill. It's like, hey, just forget it. Who's kicking?
Another local connection to Canton McKinley, too. Danny
right.
Reardon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was a big win for him last week.
Big time.
Because he lost a lot of players from, you know, the previous year.
And his pedigree at Warren Harding and Ursuline.
Yeah.
Speaking of Warren Harding, they are now up 7-0 on Rhodes.
There you go.
So Harding looking, trying to bounce back after the loss to McKinley and off to a good start.
And it looks like that second half is now, of the first game, is, you know, continuing.
And again, it's what the doctor ordered.
Yeah.
And they're playing Rhodes, so.
Definitely. A big confidence building weekend for Warren Harding.
I think they go into Maslin next week.
And that's right. Never an easy task.
No.
Absolutely not. Now, McDonald up 7-0 on Columbiana. I just, the way McDonald played last week, they're legit.
McDonald last year had like a 10-point lead before Columbiana forces it into
yeah.
overtime and beats them. That was their first loss of the year by 1 point. They were only 6 points away from a perfect season.
I tell you, Space's going to make this a game, though. Because I know I'm like a broken record, but point-wise, these guys got to get this one. This is a big one for them.
Just as I said it, 14-0 McDonald. So now they're,
now
they're starting. Now they're starting to
press it. And kind of
they look real good on that one.
So now McDonald really starting to take it to them. South Range is up 7-0 on Cleveland JFK. This is a South Range team coming off that tough loss to rival Springfield. Just trying to get the confidence back up, and it's a home game.
Yep, it is.
Yeah,
Dan Yeagley, they won't be down for now.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
And they're bumping up in the league next year. I mean, that's going to be a team to be reckoned with, even when they go up to that. That Elite Eight or whatever that is. League.
Talk about league affiliations now. We found so many leagues that started. I still go back to the old Still Valley Conference because
right.
my pedigree, I mean, I'm a Campbell Memorial grad, but you talk about the old Still Valley Conference. It was Struthers, Campbell Memorial, Brookfield, Girard, Boardman, Austintown-Fitch, then Howland came in, and then when the City Series left, Ursuline and Cardinal Mooney came in. That was a hell of a conference.
I want to talk about the SEC, the high school football.
Oh, yeah. That was the real deal back then. And then, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, now with open enrollments, the whole parochial school argument is gone. You know, these kids can go wherever they want. Before, everybody, you know, would get a little bit bent out of shape, then they kind of kicked Ursuline and JFK and Mooney to the side, and kind of went down that road. But I think today it's even worse because these teams in this area, they're all about the same size. But you take a team like Howland and Campfield now. You know how hard it's going to be to fill their schedule? Howland's going to have to go now and probably play around with Harding, Fitch, Boardman. Then, like, they have Padua, who's a big school, where these other schools got 8 games locked in, which are competitive games. You're not going into one of them going, oh, my God, I'm a 0% chance to win.
Leagues help you to build that schedule.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But it also is detrimental if you're not in a league because all these other teams from last year that ordinarily they would never play just to fill out their schedule. Back in the olden days, you had Class AA, AAA, and Single A. Now you got Divisions 1 through 7.
But I would even argue, too, with this independence now for South Range, when they were playing in the ITCL, they were used to playing those teams that are at the same caliber as them, and then they get to the playoffs, and it just they really couldn't compete. But now they have the freedom to play these top dog sure. teams that go in and out of playoffs, and you saw what happened last year. They had that unbelievable run, almost went to state.
Yeah, no, they're again, they're going to be a team to reckon with, especially mm-hmm. with open enrollment out there, and they got these guys just said 14-0 Hubbard.
Yeah,
they just went like 90 yards.
So I mean. It's the storm's brewing in Hubbard for sure.
I'm not giving up on.
And it's also 14-0 South Range, so they're starting to pull away as well. But one thing I do want to mention is just as I've gotten older and learned more about high school football in the area, one thing I've noticed and one thing I regret is not being able to watch Ursuline play when they were in the Steel Valley Conference, because that was just. Based on the teams that were just in the conference, you don't even have to look at statistics. Just looking at the teams, just that was great football.
You missed good coaches like Jerry Hanlon, mm-hmm. Tom Carey,
right.
Dick Angle, Dan Reardon, even Jimmy Vivo. I mean, Ursuline has always had good coaches.
Yep.
Always had good
coaches. They always had good players, too.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of funny. I did a story a couple years ago on the on the Ursuline Mooney series, and Eddie O'Neill, we had a chance
yep.
to talk to, and he said they would line up on the streets on Fifth Avenue and wave at us as we were going down to Rayen Stadium to go play, and he said it was an electric atmosphere.
I can just think 7-7 Struthers.
Okay.
So just to even think back to the year I played in the Steel Valley, 87, you had Boardman was runner up in state, Mooney won state. Campbell was loaded with Patton and those guys.
Yes.
John Jerick was at Struthers. Cochran was at Girard. I mean, it was every game was like 7-8.
It meant something.
Oh, it was packed. Every game right. was just vicious. They were definitely the good old days, that's for sure.
Right. And, I mean, you look at that time and you look at the teams in that conference and you got to think about the players that came out of that conference and look how far they went. Look, D1 products from Warren Harding and Cardinal Mooney, and some of them still playing pro.
Oh, crazy talent. And plus, too, you know, even in today's day, a lot of those guys now are coaches, like myself and Cochran through the years. We got great coaching around here.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I'll say. Our coaches can go anywhere in the state and be successful. It's just our talent is a little bit diluted across the whole Mahoney-Trumbull County, but our coaching is definitely passionate, and it's
legit. You're not coaching to retire wealthy.
No.
You're coaching because you love it.
Crazy. Yeah. Believe me, my wife reminds me every day.
Listen to your wife.
Yeah. No, I should have listened 28 years ago.
Now, LeBre has gone up 14-0 on Warren JFK. So now, JFK, this is a team that they had the opportunity to go out there and be a top dog team, but LeBre is just too good.
Dom, you said it early. John Armini has something special at LeBre.
Mm-hmm. They got it going.
For sure.
It's taken a while to get it going, but he has it going right now.
Right.
It's a beautiful school, brand new
yes,
school.
Yes, it is.
It's a nice area, a lot of, place for, I don't want to say people to move into or kids to move into, but
it's a nice, solid
school system.
21-0 McDonald on Columbiana. So now, they are really, really running away with this
That's
one.
It's got to be mistakes. There's no way they're just getting pounded.
It just got updated to 21-0. So.
Well, you know what, though? Hey, they had that big game on Thursday night, right? It was hyped. It was kind of a little bit back-and-forth game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe they're still reeling a little bit. Maybe
right.
they have some injuries. I don't know. Or maybe they're just getting beat.
They're just trying to make sure it's not a one-point loss the first time this year.
That's it.
Now, you said 7-7 Struthers in that game?
14-7.
Yeah, I was going to say, just got the update. It's 14-7 Crestview.
So now it goes back to what we said. Is it going to be like the West Branch game?
Right.
Shootout.
Yeah.
It can happen. Crestview's playing for their life.
Yeah. I talked about this with Ed. I talked about this with Ed Puskas, the editor for The Vindicator, last week on the show. Just, it might come down to who has the ball last.
There you go. So many times we see that.
Yeah.
And that's what Girard was banking on.
Yeah.
I think. You know, so if they get it going offensively a little bit, which they do have the talent to, can
right.
turn into that type of shootout.
I want to actually check on the Hubbard game. It is still 14-0 Hubbard. Nothing has changed unless you have a update for us. Okay.
It's the last I've got.
14-0 Windham over Lowellville. So now they're starting to run away a little bit more.
Windham is a sleeper team. They're
Yeah, I would agree.
They you know, they find a way to win games.
I was talking to your buddy Coach Del Torio, and he said Windham, you know, he obviously keeps an eye on those type of schedules, and he said Windham was going to be a tough out.
Yeah.
He thought that. He thought this year they had a pretty decent team.
Well, Windham is a part of that new conference with John Mang as the commissioner, and I think John Mang does an excellent job just bringing these schools that didn't want to be in the one conference, bringing them together, and you know, or it's about size, and I could still remember Paul Andreso telling me that when you have 20 or 25 teams in a conference, he says you're going to struggle.
Yeah.
He said an 8 to 10 conference is the ideal number. He did a great job when he was the ITCL commissioner.
Because now you're picking those two games, you're like, okay, our league's going to be pretty good, so we better find a couple, you know, cupcakes out there. Or our league's going to struggle this year, we got to go find somebody who's going to win some games and get us some points.
Right. Now, the Poland Bulldogs are up 7-0 on Niles. Now, I think Poland is a team, I mean, year in and year out, they're a playoff team, but just, I'll ask you this as a coach, they go to the playoffs almost every year, but they just can't get over the hump, whether it's a St. V's, a Cardinal Mooney, it's just, what is that little bit of extra that they're missing?
I mean, I hate to say it, but sometimes it's just a bad draw. The thing is, the year is like, people would talk about that and how, and oh, you guys lost again. Yeah, we lost to Hoban. I mean, they went 15-0. So, you know, there's bad losses in the playoff, and Poland traditionally is, like you said, they lost to St. V's team a couple years, even in basketball. But, you know, I don't know, not many teams in the state can beat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough once you get in the playoff. We haven't had like a whole, it's tough to win a state championship.
So draw
is definitely everything in this day and age with the numbers.
Our last champion was JFK.
Right. Talked about John Armini and LeBray. They're up 21.
Still in the first?
That is still in the first. That has not changed.
Yes.
If that does change, I'll let you know. That was just they haven't updated the quarter yet, but
which brings me
21-0.
Yeah, but which brings me to this point. Okay, it's 21-0 in the first. You know, it could be over 30 at the half. What's your take on the running clock?
I don't.
It's like a catch 22.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the reality of it is you know the games. I think the problem came in is a lot of coaches, like I coached in the city to start my career, so I always had a compassionate heart. You know, if you're up 30, 35, nothing, hey,
call the
start
dogs
subbing.
Call the dogs off.
But, you know, there's other guys that, you know, Urban Meyer came out running his mouth how many years ago, it's your job to stop us. Well, yeah, you know, some coaches go in with that mentality. You're beating a team to death. You know, these are high school kids, so I guess I just don't think that 30-0 is horrible. I hate to say that. Like, at 30-0 at the half, you have a chance. It's a small chance.
It's horrible when your first-teamers are still playing against the other team and running the score up.
Oh,
that's when it's horrible.
Absolutely. But I'm just saying,
every coach calls the dogs up. Billy Tubbs, when he was coaching Oklahoma, they said, well, Billy, you won 135-72. He said, because the safest lead you take is into the locker room.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Not
still.
Everybody has that compassionate heart. But, like, I can just use examples. Say last year we played Hubbard, or we played Poland. You know, we came off some tough games with Padua. You know, punt return for a touchdown. We throw a pick six. So now it's 14-0. You know, next thing, like, it was going to be a competitive game regardless going into the half. So I just think maybe like 35-0 would be a continuous clock. 30 is
right.
Still a little, you know, a little gray area for me, but
right.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I understand. Just it's good to run out the clock in a sense when you just know.
Yeah.
We just got to end this game. We don't want any of our starters getting hurt. None of your starters
100%.
Getting hurt. It's.
Well, the other half of that equation is, what about the kids that practice all week that don't get a chance to play?
Exactly, yeah.
And yet all of a sudden you're going to play a 5-minute or a 10-minute second half. You know, well, where's
my
chance?
But then it goes back to what you said. Is that coach going to put those kids in?
Right.
You know, or just go out there and try to pad his stats? You know, does his quarterback wants to be Blitz Player of the Week or something? Throw for another 200 yards.
You're right.
Now, if you guys are just joining us, this is the Blitz Live presented by Flint's Tire and Auto Service. First quarters are coming to an end, getting ready, going into the second quarter. We're getting updates as we go. Just talking about how LeBray is up 21-0 in the first quarter and kind of going over the idea of the running clock after 30 points is scored and no score of the other team, so 30-0. You mentioned Urban Meyer and that whole mentality. I'm an Ohio State fan. Makes me think of Woody Hayes And they say, why did you go for two when you're up by 30? And he said, because I couldn't go for three.
Yeah, so. You're right. I mean, it's, you know, because I don't know. I guess it's just how you have you ever been on the other side of that equation?
Right.
You know, in the city, you know, we were playing Ignatius and St. Ed's. And, you know, guys had class. They're winning 21-0. Okay, they start subbing guys. Mm-hmm. But, you know, how would those guys like that attitude if they were coaching at Austin Peay and playing Alabama?
Right, exactly.
You know. Austin Peay.
So
they got Georgia this week.
Waiting to see if we've had any other updated scores. Kind of run through them as I go. Just reiterate them. 14-0 Boardman going into the second quarter. That's over Howland. LeBray is up 21-0 on Warren JFK. Deadlocked at Rand Stadium between East and Ursuline at 7 apiece. Crestview up 14-7 on Struthers. And Poland is up 10-0 on Niles. What were you going to say?
Was there anything on Liberty?
I will check the Liberty game for you.
That's another one that's kind of...
And feel free to, you know, text us or tweet us.
Really.
Let's get some
stories. Absolutely.
If you're at the game, we'd love to have you. It's you're the lifeline. We're helping you out. You help us out.
Absolutely.
Here you go. 6-0 Liberty over Lakeview.
There we go.
So, yeah, Liberty on the board.
All my nieces and nephews go to Liberty, so I'm waiting for them.
Well, you know, and that's a big game for Chet Allen because Chet Allen didn't exactly have a good showing. Or Liberty, I don't mean Chet, but Liberty did not, you know, play very well against Struthers. So
bad matchup.
And look what Lakeview did. Lakeview beats Howland out of the gate 14-9. So
Chet's gonna. I mean, they get this win tonight. It's a money game.
Yeah,
I mean, because Lakeview's gonna definitely go. They're never worse than 7-3. I mean, they always seem to pull out 7 wins,
right.
So which would be a nice bag of points.
And, you know, last year was the first time, I believe, both Pavlansky brothers, Mike at Canfield and Tom at Lakeview, won at Poland on their father's field.
Yep.
That's pretty special.
Yep. So now we have our first quarter update. It is at the Ursuline East game. Brian Zenas, let's hear what he has to say. Let's hear what's going on at Rand Stadium.
This is Brian Zenas of Indie Blitz at the end of the first quarter here at Rand Stadium, where East and Ursuline are tied 7-7. Ursuline fumbled the opening kickoff of the game, setting up Eddie Bryant's short touchdown run. But Ursuline came back with a really long kick return, and two plays later, Ursuline's Davian Jones found the end zone from 15 yards out. Not a whole lot of running around, not a whole lot of yardage. And YSU commit James Fitzgerald of East has a sack. Reporting from Ryan, this is Brian Zenas for Indy Blitz.
Okay, a fumble and a long return.
Yeah,
so you always talk about that turnover margin. Coaches like to say that, well, we got a battle. It's a battle, but we have to win the turnover margin. That's going to happen. We, in order to win, we got to do this. Some teams can fumble 4 and 5 times and still win. Other teams can't fumble twice and yet, you know, be in the ball game. So talk about the turnover margin and what does a coaching staff do to approach a week when they talk about special teams?
I mean, I think the reality is just momentum killers. Like, I go back to just the Poland game last year. We go 3 and out. We punt. The guy houses the punt. I mean, you're in a big game. You got to, like, make those plays neutral, null and void. Like, just tackle them. Go play defense. Let them earn it.
If your punter's making the tackle, you're in a problem.
It's horrible. It's the most disgusting thing when somebody houses a kickoff or a punt because it's just, you know, it's not like, it shouldn't be part of the game. Just tackle them.
Now, give me that one point if you kick it through the field goal to the goalposts.
That makes me think of a couple years ago in an Alabama game that I was watching, and I can remember this perfectly. Alabama was kicking off. I believe they were playing LSU. I'm not entirely sure. I believe it was LSU. And they had a great kick return, and Adam Griffith, the kicker for Alabama, ended up making the tackle. But all I remember is Griffith making the tackle. And as he's getting up, Nick Saban is just screaming his head off, walks right past the man that makes the tackle and goes right up to the guy that missed the tackle. It's just why the kicker should not be the one making the hits in this game.
No, not at all. And they just said 21-0.
Wow. Just continuing the onslaught.
I talked to Little Masseur. He's probably one of the better linebackers in the state. You know, he's a little shorter, but he's vicious, and he was pretty confident.
Can't measure this, can you?
Nah, I mean, this kid, you pick him tomorrow. So, but he was pretty honed in and intense, and you know, they like the team they have there at Hubbard, and if all things stay good, and they can make a run.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Got a score from the Wellsville game. They are down 13-0 to Richmond Edison. So the Wellsville Tigers off to a rough start. They are in the second quarter, down 13-0.
think.
I don't know. Just I know about the football, the brand of football that's played down in the valley. It's fallen off of late.
If you're good, you go to Studentville, you get away, take a bus, a train, anything you got to do to get there.
And yet you cross over into West Virginia, and you've got a ton of good football teams.
Yep, right.
You know, Wellsburg and those other teams down there, Foss.
Back in the day, there was Brooke, West Virginia. Everybody
Brooke.
Kind of played around here.
We had a few ball players: Vic Segley, John Tomasilli, played at YSU from that area.
Right. I'm not sure if I mentioned this already, but 14-0 Boardman over Howland. So
yes, we got that.
The Spartans taking it to the Tigers, a team that has just been off to a rough start this year.
Again, a road game.
Right.
Yeah. A couple guys texted said Howland turned the ball over 3 times. So
wow. It's just they're doing it to themselves.
And you're doing it against a real team.
A good thing.
You're not going to play around and get away with that against Boardman.
Now, the Salem Quakers are up 14-0 against United. And I think this is a game we knew was pretty one-sided.
And DJ will instill that attitude.
Yeah, it will.
Now, looking here, Latonia, 7-0 on Matthews. So
here we go.
How about the Bears? We're going to go 2-0.
His Bears may be 2-0 come about 9:15 tonight.
I can see it. I definitely think it can happen. I think this could be the game.
They make me smile.
Oh, yeah. They
make me smile.
You know what? You just love it when good things happen to good guys like that. I mean, Julio's the best.
And when you've been down, I think they were like 2-28. Goodness, they should have a parade down Main Street.
Hey, listen, you know what that does for that community?
Oh, brings them together.
Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, because it's not that big where it's spread out. Like, everybody's watching
everybody,
a football game.
Everybody's talking about it. That's the good part. That's what I like. And then at the end, they're going to the Elmton and eating a pizza and saying, oh, did you see this?
Right.
You know,
and, that's going to make the turnout for the next game even bigger.
Very much so.
Closer to Andy Haig, though. I've become pretty good friends with him. And I've never coached, I've always been at Howland or... South, where you're playing Canton McKinley, so I was always in this little bubble. I got a lot of respect for smaller school football.
Sure.
And those guys coach it up. Those kids work hard. They play hard.
His father played football at Murray State. Russ.
They scrimmage Hubbard good. Well, I went to the Western Reserve Hubbard scrimmage, and like you walked out there, it looked like,
See, but you want that. You want to go up against a team like that so that you can improve. When Denny Crum was the coach at Louisville, they had 10 losses and won the national championship. And they said, well, Denny, what about this early part of the season? He says, I schedule these big games.
Yep.
I want my team to get better when it comes time for tournament play.
That's what they said. And you know what? Let me tell you something. They went toe-to-toe with them. Their defense, they didn't move the ball a whole lot, but Hubbard didn't really run all over them.
No player or coach will be more excitable on the field than Andy Haig.
Yeah, he does a good job.
So you play like your coach, do you not? You play like your staff.
Exactly.
If I'm laid back and saying, okay, go out there, what are you going to do? You're going to be laid back.
Now, some guys, like Banks a little laid back. I mean, he's fiery, but he's very calculated. And there are a few good ones out there, but you're right. Andy definitely goes to this extreme. He goes to that extreme, and he gets the most out of those guys.
So you talk about Hubbard. They're up 21-0 right now against Girard. And just we knew that Hubbard was the favorite in this game, but... Do you think that there's a chance for them to blank Girard here and in terms of shutting them out? No score for Girard.
I know one thing, they want to. Absolutely.
I
mean, just by talking to those guys, they want to. Now, it just comes down to they have probably one of the better quarterbacks in the state of Ohio. It's just, all those other pieces mesh. Is their O-line going to hold up against, some big boys in there? And so you would say on paper, no.
Yeah,
I mean, Girard should score.
Right.
If Girard should do anything, they should be able to put some points up, I would say.
Just got a score update. Cardinal Mooney, 7-0 over Akron. So, Mooney, I like that, though, because, obviously, I'm an Ursuline grad. I shouldn't.
I like area things. Our area.
Yeah,
we have to root for our area.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't care Girard,
Hubbard,
it doesn't matter.
Because of how good Hoban is, for Mooney to get up top early, set the tone, and have the momentum on their side early, that's pivotal for this game.
Absolutely.
And last year, Mooney was snake bit in those first four or five games. I mean, you know, all of a sudden now you're looking at 2-3 trying to, you know, bounce back and fight. When you have to go out and try to play 500 ball, you know, it's a lot easier to go out and play when you're up 5-0 or 4-1 or whatever.
Yeah, I listen, I'm with you all the time. I don't care who it is. Local teams, you know, it's just,
they have
just
my
for
vote.
Me, from my standpoint, they're playing probably the best team in the state of Ohio.
Right.
So, you know, to right to be up 7-0.
Well, here's a team that goes into Cleveland St. Ignatius and wins. You just
right.
Don't do
it's
that.
Worse than the score.
You don't do that.
No, yeah. Seriously. And you're, you know, what a D. Well, they're D2 now after after everybody got their wish with competitive balance. They got bumped up to D2.
Well, talk about competitive balance. Now that you brought that up, you know, it's a sore subject with a lot of people.
Absolutely. Again, like I said, open enrollment to me, just as a coach, it makes it all null and void. Now, again, I live in Poland, who doesn't have open enrollment. You know, and Canfield obviously doesn't have open enrollment, but everybody else does. So, you know, if there's a good kid, it's, you know, the whole recruiting, quote, whatever you want to call it, it's kind of gone. The Catholic schools really don't have a big advantage, just in my opinion. You look at Hubbard. Hubbard probably got about 5-6 guys that are open enrollment kids, and they can play on any team in this area.
Some schools need open enrollment to survive, though, too.
Lowville,
that's one of them.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Now,
and that's a beautiful school system.
Absolutely, 100%.
Right. Agreed. Now, the Warren JFK game has gotten a little bit rougher. LeBray up 34-0 on Warren JFK.
And that has to be what, in the first quarter, first half?
Second quarter.
Second
yep.
quarter. That could be a running clock.
I mean, you know, we did say. I hate to say this because McGlynn, I love him, but when you saw JFK and Champion go down to the wire, you knew there was something missing from JFK from, you know, prior years. And that's no disrespect to Champion, or but let's just call it what it is.
Right.
So, you know, maybe they're just an undermanned JFK team against a team like La Brea that got it rolling right now.
Here's a team we haven't talked about yet in this first quarter, first half analysis. The Canfield Cardinals, they're up 14-0 right now on Alliance.
Yeah.
So Canfield already looking good.
And that's a road game. They want to win this game on the road.
And that's second quarter right now, too. So
okay.
Canfield
good.
Looking good. I like the Canfield Cardinals this year.
Listen, they got a great
staff. Well,
they go
13-1 last year?
Yeah, they got a great staff. They got a great community. They got a lot of support there. They got a lot going for them. They're tricky parts of the league. What are they going to do?
Mm-hmm.
They're out. You know, they got kicked to the curb with Howland. Where are they going to jump to? Now you got to fill that schedule. You know, who are you picking up?
Mm-hmm. Every game counts.
Yeah, absolutely.
No doubt.
Boardman is up 21-0 on Howland. So it's hard to watch this happen to Howland. This is a team that year in and year out is so good. And they're just getting picked apart right now by the Spartans.
They're just really out, man, on offense this year. I mean, we lost a lot of Samari and those guys. And Stevie's going to get it going. He's got a couple grades coming up. They're 8th grade. Now, you know, where they're a safety or they're a DN, but sometimes those guys, the troops in those schools.
Well, you kind of hit on something there, okay? What the programs have right now is a good feeder system.
Yep.
Not every school has that feeder system.
Right.
Some schools can't field an 8th, a 9th, and a 10th, or a JV football team. I could still remember at Louisville when Jeff was the head coach. We had like 12 or 13 kids trying to play JV ball, but they were playing Friday nights as well because the numbers just weren't there. I think we started out with 35.
You guys did a good job, though.
Well, a couple injuries brought you down to 30. Then you had a couple defections. All of a sudden, you're down to 25 or 26. And, you know, your practices are a little bit different. Instead of having 60 on the practice field, you've got 23. You know, you're not going to go pounding heads back to back.
And that's what's starting to happen, say, at Howard. I'm just using us as an example because I was there. You know, you went from having 70 guys to 65. So not to the extreme that you went through, but the next thing you know, you got like 40.
So where's the feeder system?
And that's just it. Click and gel and stay together, and they don't play AAU basketball or year-round soccer, and they come out and play football.
And I can still remember sitting with Jeff, and at the time, Rocco Nero was our superintendent. We actually thought about not having like a 9th grade team or a JV team. And the answer to that was no, because once you get rid of a team, it's tough to bring that program back. So you kind of weather the storm and hope. And then they've gotten some numbers over the years,
yep.
but nothing where near that you know, you want to have. You want to have 40, 45, maybe 50 players.
Absolutely.
And if you remember when Joe Ignacio took over
yep.
at Boardman, he had like 39 players his first year.
Right.
Now they're well over 70 or
mm-hmm.
80. I looked at their roster, and I'm typing, you know, all these names. And, you know, it's nice to see because, commend him, he's done his job.
Right.
They got a phenomenal staff, too. You know, they got Coach Pope there, who was there for years, and Coach Toth. You got Ignacio. I mean, those guys are, they breed like, all right, I want to be around here. I want to go lift. You know, I want to be part of the team.
Yep.
So, you know, commend the.
Of a team, and as a young eighth grader coming into high school, and you see a Howland team playing at a premier level and making moves towards state, and you're thinking, hey, if I play football next year, I can get a state title ring. So it's just all about the little bit of persuasion on the field, too, that goes a long way.
And then the only counter argument to that that sometimes you have the problem with, these guys go, oh, I can't play in front of Victor Williams.
Right.
Oh, my God, Devion's a sophomore. I think I'm a tailback. Angle would go, no, he's the tailback.
Right.
He better figure out another position.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it is a catch-22.
Hey, here's a score for you. West Branch 16, Beaver Local nothing in the first.
Mm-hmm.
In the second. In the second.
And Warren Harding just went up 14-0 on Rhodes. So this is a good game for Warren Harding, as mentioned. I mean, you mentioned talent like Maurice Claret, Mario Manningham, Boom Heron that have all come out of Warren Harding. It's sad to see what
this year,
right? Yeah, it's just sad to see that Harding isn't where they used to be as just a powerhouse football team.
They're working towards it.
Mm-hmm.
They're working towards it, and hopefully they get it and get that luster back.
Wellsville just scored. It's 13-7 Edison now over Wellsville.
Well, there you go. Looking through here, Liberty's up 14-0 on Lakeview. So the Leopards.
Where's that game at?
It's at Liberty.
Oh, Chet's got it.
Yeah. So the Leopards are winning.
Hold serve.
This is cash in the bank. I'm curious. I'm going to look at the rest of their schedule. So they probably, I mean, they're going to have like Campbell. They're going to have
right.
Champion. They're going to have Middle Ridge, Newton Falls. So again, I know it's week two, but this potentially gets them in the playoffs.
Hey, this is the fastest 10 weeks in sports.
You're right.
We're already in week number two.
I'm telling you, this gets them in the play. This will be a big win for Coach Allen over there.
And speaking of Camel, they are up 7-0 on Bexley.
It's the cheerleaders.
So the Red Devils are up.
Hey, you know what? It's the cheerleaders and all their dads are there that all play the Camel through the years. And
well, you talk about a storied history. They started their program in 1925 as Penhale High School. And then they became Camel Memorial High
School. That's right, because it's on Penhale.
Well, the Penhale, and I went to Penhale Grade School. Obviously, 35 years later.
21-7.
But when you talk about a guy, about a guy like Dick Barrett, Johnny Napick,
yeah, right.
Tony Cougris, Sloco Gill, Eddie Rosen.
Yeah, it's a lot of tradition. Believe me, it's nonstop. Hubbard fumbled.
Oh, so Gerard's on the board.
Gerard scooped and scored.
Well, there goes the shutout.
That counts. It counts on the scoreboard.
Right.
But see, you know, there's an example. What we talked about, turnovers. You're getting outmanned, you're getting beat down. Boom, something happens, guy gets cocky, gets hit, fumbles, they scoop it up, score. Now all of a sudden, Gerard's feeling pretty good. We're in this.
What do you do to a habitual fumbler?
Sit him on a bench.
That's true,
man.
I mean, I've seen it both ways. Where some coaches are, you know, stuck because that's the only person they have, but you know, if you've got somebody pushing, competition, you know, you have to have competition, because if you don't have competition, you become complacent.
And that's where just our population shrink in this area kind of is putting all these coaches in catch-22s. I mean, you're playing some kids that traditionally through the years wouldn't have started for you. They might have been a role player. But you know what? All the coaches I coached with, Domesco and Angle, the kids fumbling, anybody's better than them. He's getting 3 yards.
Right.
Yep.
How much has the football helmet controversy figured into the high school equation? I mean, we're talking about CTE on the in the NFL level. You're talking about players that after they retire, they're committing suicide because their mind is shot. You're talking about, you know, concussions on the college level and also the high school level. How much has that trickled down to where the parents say, it's not worth it. I'm not going to sign that paper so my son plays football.
I think the only thing that I've seen to say, I'll just use the last 10 years when it's been a little more prevalent, is that it's gotten way better because of the concussion tests.
Have the helmets gotten better?
Oh, yeah, definitely. 100%. Mm-hmm. You know, the Zenith has come out, all these things, the chin strap. They definitely have made improvements. But I think just being on top of it and addressing it, not, you're all right, go take an aspirin. It was called what it was back in the day.
How about the old pneumonia pills?
Yeah, that, Dr. Vlitzka at Ursula. Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, it's just, hey, you're all right. but, and I'm not discrediting that, but, no. You know, just know how it was.
It was a different time.
Absolutely. Yep. So now it's gotten better because of the testing, the protocols, all the equipment. There's so much emphasis on it. And I think the reality of it is now it's flag football.
We do the contest.
You don't have those collisions like you did back in the day, running lead, and ISO, and just get your head pounded.
We do the concussion protocol in the NFL. Okay, you're off to the side. There's a doctor there. Yep. He's not going to let you back in the ball game. We know what they do in the college level too. You've got your trainer and a team doctor. What is it on the high school?
Same thing.
Is it
team
physician?
Every athlete, even if it's volleyball, they got to take a concussion test at the beginning of the year before the season, which is a series of questions. You get dinged up, even if it's volleyball. Girl gets a ball spiked at her, hits her in the head or whatever. You got to go take the test. If you fail it,
you're down.
Sit out of it.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. It's gotten way better. So it definitely is.
So they've been proactive as opposed to reactive.
Absolutely. 100%. 100%. Yeah. And really, so they were maybe not proactive in the NFL, but then after they, kind of it started coming to the forefront, high school was able to get ahead of it.
You know, by making so many hundreds of millions of dollars available to those that have CTE, they're admitting that they're not wrong. does that make sense?
I mean, you're right.
Right. Here, take this as a cash payout, or we'll help, those players that are, in that type of a situation. But, we're not wrong, but here's money.
And again, it was the time. It was the time. Get in there. Broken arm, broken leg. It didn't matter. You're playing.
Cortisone shot.
And then guys wanted to play, though. Because it was a man thing. It was, I'm not going out. You saw Dick Butkus. I just remember tape hanging, busted fingers, couldn't even move his fingers.
We had a scout in the press box at YSU one time, the old Chicago Bear coach who played with the Browns, Abe Gibbern, if you remember that name. This was his one finger. That's just the one finger.
That's what I mean.
I mean, then what they're pointing this way. It's supposed to be straight, and it's pointing that way.
And that was calm.
Oh.
There was nothing.
It was a rite of passage.
Yeah, it was. There was no, you weren't coming out of any games.
No.
Yeah, it's just the one thing that worries me in the terms of safety is, you look at the NFL, it's just every single person is in their premier shape, just bigger, stronger.
Oh, that's it.
But let's just take, this is just an example. Say Warren Harding takes on a Beaver local, and you have this young kid, say he's a sophomore wide receiver, maybe 6 feet tall. The ball, and there's a Division I prospect safety waiting for him.
Yeah.
It's just, it's going to hurt.
Well,
it's just the difference there between skill and talent.
Listen, or even just Hardy playing Rhodes.
Right.
I mean, call it what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a fine line, and you're right. The training of today, these guys are missiles. But then again, football is a lot more spread out. Tackles are like, you're making a lot more open field tackles. So I guess that's helping the cause a little bit too.
Indian Creek is now up over East Liverpool 14-0 in the first.
East has taken the lead on Ursuline 14-7.
Ooh.
So the Golden Bears, almost calling them Panthers.
We said
Golden Bears are up top again.
And again, Ursuline maybe had the advantage just because of tradition, but
Hey, don't forget that Brian Merrill, when he was at Valley Christian, took Valley Christian from a winless team to a playoff team.
He's one of the best. Yeah, I'm on the red zone board with him and Emil and these guys, and Shep came in, and there's not a better person in the area than Brian Morrow. I mean, my dad was at South High School then on that 80 team with him and Garcia Lane and Willie Green. And I mean, you're talking about one of the best human beings that...
I agree.
Oh, my God. Yeah, then they got Anthony Floyd coaching down Cheney, and Shep did a nice job bringing these guys back.
He brought the right people back.
Yep.
Right. Well... It is 8 o'clock. Teams are starting to go into halftime. Second quarters are just starting to wrap up, so we're going to take our next break here on the Blitz Live presented by Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Second quarter action has been intense. Some breakaway games. Some games are still locked tight. We'll let you know what happens as the second half begins when we come back. But now here's the podcast of the AP, and let's hear what they have to say on this week's topic. But this is the Blitz Live, presented by Flint's Tire and Auto.
We are Venture Salem. We produce the fascias, trim elements, and interior plastic components used on millions of cars today. We are a great place to start building a career from the ground up. As a light industrial laborer, robotics operator, team leader, and more. Begin your career with Venture Salem. Apply today at jobs.ventura.com. Venture Salem, where careers are built.
Hi, I'm Joe Flynn for a great deal on tires. Just drive in any Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Or you can just call us.
Remember, Flynn's does more than just tires, from brakes and mufflers to scheduled maintenance and general repairs. Flynn's does it all. Go to FlynnsTire.com for money-saving coupons.
For dependable tires and expert service, go to Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Visit FlynnsTire.com to request an appointment.
And tell them Finney sent you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the AP Top 25 College Football Podcast. I'm Ralph Russo, the college football writer with the Associated Press. The season is here. Thank goodness the season is here. We got a little taste of college football last weekend, thanks to Hawaii and Wyoming and a few other Week Zero games. This week, it's the usual Labor Day weekend marathon that starts Thursday night, a perfect reason to make it a four-day weekend and take off Friday, too. I'll preview week one of the regular season with USA Today's Paul Meyerberg. We'll talk about all the quarterback competitions that have come to an end in recent days, including at Clemson and LSU, and what some of these decisions tell us about the current state of the business of being a major college quarterback. We'll talk about the fascinating games this weekend, including big stakes between Washington and Auburn, Notre Dame and Michigan. That's where I am this week, in South Bend, Indiana. Thanks again for listening to the AP Top 25 College Football Podcast. You can now find us on Podcast One. We are very happy to be working with those fine folks, and the podcast has really taken off since we've landed there. You can still find us on Apple Podcasts. Please subscribe, and if so inclined, give us a good review. And as usual, you can go to collegefootball.ap.org, where you can read all of AP's college football coverage. And away we go.
I am in South Bend, Indiana this week, leading up to the Michigan-Notre Dame game, which is, I would say, maybe the biggest game of the weekend if you start to include things like name brands and interesting coaches and things along those lines, and it's on campus. There may be other bigger, somewhat more interesting games this weekend as far as playoff implications, but I think this is a pretty big game, and so I'm going to be here. But I want to talk about the entire first week of the season, and we're really happy to be at week one because August kind of stunk, with Paul Meyerberg from USA Today. It was a pretty quiet off season, Paul, and then it sort of got away from us in August, didn't it?
Yeah, things got out of control a little bit. We let things slide a little bit because it had been a really great, let me count these months, May, June, July. We had a three-month span there, Ralph, where everything was great. I was having a great summer. I hope you were too. I was having a great summer for about 3 months. And then on July 22nd in the year 2018, things began to fall apart.
Yeah, and by that point in July, summer is sort of over for folks who do what we do. That's when media days start. And throughout media days, you're getting busier. You're cranking things up a little bit. But you do feel like, well, I can slide right into August, and this won't be that taxing. And I think we just all jinxed it. I think we were all thinking the same thing, hesitant to say it out loud because you don't want to jinx it. But I think everybody...
Yeah,
us to what we ended up with for the last month.
Yeah, you know those, there's like those scenes in war movies where like the really grizzled 1,000-yard stare dude is standing on the parapet or at the in the trench looking out at the enemies across the way, and the fresh-faced guy comes over and he's like, "Hey, Sarge, pretty quiet tonight, right?" And the Sarge takes the drag of his unfiltered palm all and turns to young Joey and says, "Too quiet." You know what I mean? That moment, that was me at Media Days with everybody. Like, you'd say that to someone and be like, "Hey, it's been a really quiet few weeks." And then there'd be silence and you realize, too quiet.
Yeah.
It was too quiet.
Well, we had our podcast last week about Ohio State, so I don't necessarily want to retread on that ground. We have reached the week of game week, so let's talk about games and game week. And today we are recording this at Monday evening, and what's happened over the last 24 hours is everybody in the country decided on a quarterback. Not Alabama, but that's not that surprising, but pretty much everybody else decided who was going to play quarterback. Any surprises out of this one, you know, between Clemson, LSU, Florida, Florida State, Illinois, USC yesterday, Nebraska, anybody that sort of stood out as far as quarterback battles, any themes here that we can pull on as far as quarterback battles?
Did you say Illinois? Did you throw an Illinois in there? Like you were like Clemson, USC, Illinois, that threw me for a loop. Here's what I'll tell you, okay? So,
that was planned, by the way.
Yeah, that was close.
Yeah.
If I was going to say surprised by any, I guess the closest would be Clemson, just because all summer I heard and we all had heard just how great Trevor Lawrence was and how close his competition was. I'm not saying this is settled by any means, but that was, if we're going to talk a surprise, that's probably as close as we're going to get, because I wasn't surprised, or no one was surprised by Kyler Murray at Oklahoma or Adrian Martinez at Nebraska or JT Daniels at USC, all kind of expected. I guess the one kind of theme that you're seeing, I just mentioned two of them, it's just more and more common now, more and more almost effortless for coach to make this decision to give the offense over to a true freshman or a redshirt freshman. I think that shift has roots in a lot of ideas. I mean, the development and the proliferation of private QB coaches, of 7-on-7, of college football, or football 24/7 in some states in the country. But you look at Martinez at Nebraska, Daniels at USC, two of the premier name programs in the country, no issue whatsoever in letting an 18-year-old just on campus, USC's case just on campus, 3 months ago, get the job. So I think that's the takeaway to consider. I also think about these teams. I would think about USC in a different light now, even though it's unexpected when you really think about a true freshman being under center and that kind of spotlight under that kind of pressure. That's kind of cool. It's the way I look at the recruitment.
And I think part of what you're talking about is the reason why we're a little surprised at what happened to Clemson. Like, why would you be surprised that the senior starter who led his team to the playoffs is starting again this year, won the job in Kelly Bryant? But we all are he'd become so accustomed to these freshmen rising up, taking these jobs, and running with opportunities. And Trevor Lawrence has been touted as such a wunderkind that, of course. Trevor Lawrence could win that job and maybe even will win that job. And when Dabo starts talking about open competitions, you know, it's odd to hear a coach who's got a senior starter who was in a playoff or who did great things the year before, you know, not commit to that senior starter or leave the door open. So I think it probably led us all to maybe overrate to a certain degree how great a chance Trevor Lawrence had at that job. But I think all those things combined make us go, "Oh, wow. Not Trevor Lawrence. Kelly Bryant. Okay. Didn't really know if I saw that coming."
Yeah, and I do wonder, and we'll get an idea on how the competition actually went, I would think, the next week or so. I do wonder just how Bryant responded to it, what Dabo thought about how Bryant responded to a challenge. I mean, the mindset, like you said, to be a senior returning from an ACC title team that went to the playoff, played in the Sugar Bowl, to have to fight for your job, I think is a new dynamic. So it's interesting to consider about what it brought out of Kelly Bryant and what we'll see of him. But at the same time, I look at this QB depth chart at Clemson, I just see a week-to-week battle. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if by week three, week four, even week two, Trevor Lawrence play a series in the first half, light it up, and then take over the job in the second half. I mean, it's so unsettled to me right now. And I know Bryant's the starter. I have a feeling that you're going to see Lawrence a lot in September. And, you know, I just don't think we can put to bed the idea that this is Kelly Bryant's job for keeps. I think he's going to earn it. I think he's going to have to earn it almost every single week.
Right, and Clemson is situated, we'll talk about this too, Clemson's schedule situates quite nicely for them to ease in Trevor Lawrence to a certain degree. You know, we've gotten sort of crazy with the strength of schedule talk in college football to the point where it becomes almost mind-numbing. It does seem like they will have, especially because Clemson is so good, right? They'll have so many different ways to beat you. Bryant is a good player, right? And he was demonstrably good player last year. So the idea that they need their quarterback to be a big star, that doesn't really need to be the case. Bryant could just be a good player, and they could win a lot of games with their defense and having all those weapons. So it does, I think, lend itself to the idea that Lawrence, again, a little bit week to week, and all of a sudden you look up and Lawrence has maybe overtaken him. But that maybe I'm also underrating what a trip to George Tech is going to be like early in the season. I mean, Clemson has had this propensity to sort of lose a rando game.
Yes, for sure. Absolutely. I don't know. I just don't think Clemson can accept, like, you're good enough anywhere when you want to win a national championship. You know what I mean? I don't know if Bryant doesn't show market improvement on a Saturday where they can just be like, all right, well, this is what we got, and this is what we're going to live with, and we're going to let our defensive line and our running backs carry the day. I just don't think Clemson can settle, which is why I think Lawrence has a shot every single week to ball ahead of him on the depth chart. But at the same time, I mean, unlike their team in Alabama, their great rival for the national championship, at least Clemson has a vision and a plan. I'm sure Alabama has one, hasn't been articulated yet. But when you name Bryant the starter, you can at least slot in the idea like, all right, so it's settled, and we'll see how Lawrence does. And for Alabama, Tua's the starter, but what do you do with Jalen Hurts? What's the dynamic? What does it say in the locker room? How do the players respond? And I think that is a separator from Alabama to a degree, even if you can't really discount how good Alabama's QBs are. I just feel like this, at least for Clemson, they've done a good job of getting it to this point and just kind of setting it down and letting the chips fall once the season begins, rather than playing things, you know, so as close to the vest as Saban has for the last, 8 months almost.
Right, and we don't know if it's Tua. You know, we'll find out Saturday when Alabama plays Louisville if it is Tua as the starter. And again, that could be a situation where I wouldn't be surprised at all if both of them play. First of all, I think Alabama will probably handle Louisville with a certain amount of ease. A few years back, Alabama opened the season on one of these neutral site games. It was the first year Kiffin was offensive coordinator against West Virginia. And it wasn't a particularly like dominant performance. It was just sort of okay, right? I mean, I could see Alabama winning by 30, but I could see that happening too. I could see an Alabama coming out and not being as crisp for whatever reason, and that lending itself, again, to both quarterbacks playing a little bit, and maybe both quarterbacks playing is one of the reasons why they're not so sharp. I think we've all assumed Tua. The one thing I've always gone back to is I'll give Jalen a chance because of reliability. And sort of what we were talking about with the Bryant-Lawrence situation, where if at a certain point Saban says, I don't need a 4,500-yard passer, I just want to make sure my guy throws the ball to the right team, and I know Hurts does that, so I'm going to play Jalen. I don't think that's how it'll play out, but I keep leaving the door open a crack for Hurts. Back?
That's true. Let me get this. Hold on. I don't know who that is. It's probably. Oh, it's Jeff Bowne. I'll call him.
Yeah. A little inside joke. We won't expound on it because actually it's funnier without expounding. Another interesting thing, and the one we'll get off the quarterback stuff, roll around a little bit. Felipe Franks at Florida, outright. DeAndre Francois at Florida State. That's kind of the way I thought it would go as soon as Francois sort of did whatever he needed to get done as far as leadership and just being a presence on the team in tackle. One of the things that did happen in with Nebraska's situation, so they name Adrian Martinez, and literally the next day, the backup decides to leave school. And it's at Tristan Jebbia. Thank you. Tristan Jebbia, who was a pretty big recruit a couple of years ago, last year with Mike Riley. I mean, he the next day, he just sort of packed up and left.
that's just the way it is now. You know, I mean, God forbid you stick around for a year. But at the same time, and you don't miss if you spend another day on campus Nebraska for the fall, and then you miss all of next season. So I don't fault them for the decision. It's a millennial issue. My head coach is telling me, which makes me want to jump out of the closest window and jump head first onto the concrete. But yeah, it's interesting. But at the same time, he'll go play somewhere nice. Probably
going to
end up being fantastically good.
Yeah, the clock is ticking on these quarterbacks. I do think that there is something to be said for waiting your turn and being a little patient, and Jacob Eason gets hurt, and now Jake Fromm is the guy. So things can happen, but the window of opportunity is pretty short to sort of say, I've got 3 years to show that I can play in the NFL. That's essentially what these kids are trying to do. I got 3 years to show that I can play in the NFL. That opportunity. I got 3 years to get this done. And you're asking me to sit around for the possibility of two. Just throw out 2 years. Now maybe Tristan Jebbia or somebody in his situation is so accelerated he could get to, maybe he could have graduated by the end of this year and next year he's a grad transfer. But that's just a lot to ask of these kids when, again, the window for them to prove they can play in the NFL or have a chance to play in the NFL is so small. So I always sort of err towards the kids and business decisions, but the track record here tends to say that once you start moving around, you're probably not going to end up in the NFL.
Yeah, that's not a good – I mean, there for every Ryan Finley, there's dozens of guys. There's 500 Brock Berlins, you know what I mean? It's just not a good track record.
That was a good pull. Brock Berlin was a
very
good pull.
I know, I was just thinking of a guy.
Right, and Joe Burrow just did that, and now Joe Burrow is starting. And, maybe that says more about what LSU had. Because the other thing, the other side of this is where the quarterback goes. And, sometimes I think fans sort of maybe don't want to comprehend this, or maybe they sort of do, but they don't really want to embrace it. When your team goes and gets a grad transfer quarterback, that pretty much means the guys on your roster aren't that good. Now, again, there could be exceptions. I'm sure you could maybe pull out an exception or two, like you pulled out Brock Berlin. But generally speaking, once you decide to go that route, you're going that route not because you have confidence in the guys on your roster and I just want to build a little depth or I want a little more experience. You're going that route because you think that guy is better than what I have. So maybe Joe Burrow turns out to be terrific. We've heard a lot of good things out of him coming out of Ohio State, and he hardly ever played, but we certainly heard good things. But, you know, if I'm an LSU fan, well, Joe Burrow's got 2 years of eligibility. What about, like, Miles Brennan and all the quarterbacks that they've recruited over the last couple of years? Are they all washouts? And you can say, no, Brennan played really well in the competition from what we've heard. So, you know, he's a viable alternative, and that may turn out to be the case, but I wouldn't bet on it.
Yeah, like, you're LSU, right? And you want to win a national championship, but first you need to beat Alabama, and you have to beat Auburn, and you have to beat Mississippi State, and you have to beat Miami, first of all. And you're going into the season saying, okay, so we've got a QB who's good, he's pretty good, but all we really know about him is that he's not as good as the kid at Ohio State who has 57 career attempts. So already you're like, okay, our QB is not as good as that. That's the baseline. That's what we can compare him to, and he's not as good as that guy, but maybe he'll be good enough to beat Alabama. I don't know. I wish him the best. I hope Joe Burrow is great. I think it's great. He's a coach's kid from the Midwest, and I will root for you if you fit those two criteria. But I don't know if he's going to be very good because he wasn't good enough to start at Ohio State. LSU not as good as Ohio State? I don't know.
Yeah, the allure of these players becomes greater once they're on the market because you have hope, right? They signal hope to a fan base who is looking for something to be hopeful about. And Joe Burrow is a symbol of hope for LSU. And again, he also just drove two other quarterbacks into the transfer market. So we're going to do this. We're going to take a very quick break, and then we'll come back and start talking about week one games with Paul Meyerberg from USA Today. This is the AP Top 25 College Football Podcast.
We are Venture Salem. We produce the fascias, trim element, and interior plastic components used on millions of cars today. We are a great place to start building a career from the ground up as a light industrial laborer, robotics operator, team leader, and more. Begin your career with Venture Salem. Apply today at jobs.ventura.com. Venture Salem, where careers are built.
Need tires? Call Flynn's first.
Where the advertised tire price is the entire price. And tell them Finney sent you.
Welcome back to Blitz Live, presented by Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Flynn's Tire Technicians are Tire Industry Association trained and certified. That means you can trust the installation of your tires to professionals. Flynn's well-trained and certified tire technicians make it easy to buy tires. Back here on Blitz Live, presented by Flynn's Tire and Auto Service, we are going to get some second-half updates. We're going to start with Bob Ettinger, who's at the Cardinal Mooney Archbishop Hoban game. Let's hear what's going on at YSU Stadium.
This is Bob Ettinger from Stambaugh Stadium, where the Cardinal Mooney Cardinals host Akron Hoban. At the end of the first quarter, it's knotted at 7-7. The Cardinals scored after a Darian Font interception and a return to the 7-yard line. Jason Santisi took it in from the 3. Tyrus Dickerson answered for Hoban. It's a 7-7 tie here at Stambaugh Stadium between Hoban and Mooney. We head to the second quarter.
All right, so that was the first quarter analysis. Greg, you were going to
Dom, I do have
update.
An update. Got yep. This update from Michael Allegretto, our good friend out at Larish's Italian store. He's at the ball game. It's 14-7 now. It's Archbishop Hoban over Cardinal Mooney.
All right. So,
second quarter.
Yep, so Hoban
Thanks
is up top.
Thanks for the text.
Yep, absolutely. Appreciate the text and the update there. And we have one more update. This is from, I believe, Mike McLean, who is at the Boardman-Howland game. Interested to see where this one's going. Let's hear what's going on.
Hi, this is Mike McClain reporting for the Vindicator at Lombardo Field in Howland. We're at halftime. The score has been all over Howland, 24-0. Howland hasn't, obviously, you can tell by the score, hasn't got anything going offensively. For Boardman, their quarterback, Red Team Martin, got the start over Mike Ohora, who had a big game last week in the win over East, but Ohora had a minor leg injury last week, and I assume they figured they'd sit him out this game for this one ticket win. Big games so far for Connor Miller for Boardman, who's returned an interception for a touchdown and also took a ball on a jet sweep and went 12 yards to score. Another touchdown was Martin to Jordan Funjali Gelio, excuse me there, and the other score for Boardman was a 24-yard field goal by Tommy Frieda. It's all Boardman. This has the makings of a running clock in the second half. Again, it's 24-0 Boardman at halftime here in Howland.
So there's your update there. Boardman taking it to Howland already, and just tough to see that happening to this Howland team.
Let me tell you what I see out of that 24-0 score. I see 6 special teams points. Mm-hmm. I see a field goal and 3 extra points, which may not be critical today, but down the road it tells me they have some good special teams play.
Yeah. Not only do they got good offensive and defensive players, it's that missing element that you were hitting on earlier that, hey, it comes down to a tight game, they're going to feel comfortable getting that field goal or those extra points.
Love to have that in my back pocket.
Absolutely. Yep. Perfect. So now, give you the rundown of all the scores around the area. Most of these are going into halftime. Others are still in the second quarter, maybe even going into the third. So just give you the rundown as we go. Richmond Edison is up on Wellsville 13-0 in the second. Austintown Fitch leads Erie 8-0 in the second. Boardman, again, up at half 24-0 on Howland. West Branch is really taking it to Beaver Local 37-0 at the half. LeBray is up 48-7 on Warren JFK at the half. Also in halftime, East up on the Ursuline Irish 21-7. Now, Crestview and Struthers, this game is still close. Crestview has the edge 21-14 in the second. And Southington is handling Sebring 34-0. So Sebring continuing to struggle in the second quarter. Still haven't gotten much of an update at this game, but it is still 14-0 Salem over United. Poland has a 10-7 lead on Niles. So Niles is now on the board, keeping it interesting. Jackson Milton at the half on top of Newton Falls 14-12. And we have a tie game between Ashtabula St. John and Newbury at 6 apiece. Latonia has a 13-0 lead on Matthews. Wyndham up 35-0 on Lowellville at the half. Warren Harding up on Rhodes 21-0. Lisbon taking it to Mineral Ridge 33-0 at half. Liberty has a 14-0 lead on Lakeview at the half. And Archbishop Hoban has extended their lead in the second quarter 21-7 on Cardinal Mooney. Hubbard and Girard 21-20. 21? Is it 21?
I think it's 21-21. Yep.
I have the update here at 20. They must have not added
that's
the extra
good.
Point.
You might have got.
But it's a close game.
Yeah,
they came back. It's just unbelievable to see. We saw 21 points right on the board, right out of the gate by Hubbard, and Girard is right back, and it's all. It's just the first 2 touchdowns came off of turnovers.
We've been harping on it, and you know what it does? It gives those kids a chance to believe. What did we say? You get a fumble, you scoop it, you score, you get down there. Now all of a sudden you're believing, you're a little bit jacked up. Now the other team who's walking around, they beat up on Alliance. They had a good scrimmage against Canfield. They're feeling good about themselves. All of a sudden they get punched in the face a little bit. So who's going to be their leader? Who's going to step up? Who are they going to turn to? Now, they got a little Masora there. I'm thinking that he could be the guy that rallies them, but you don't want to start getting in a track meet with Girard.
Well, Hubbard starts off with 21 unanswered. Girard answers with 20 unanswered.
Yep.
So
unbelievable.
This game's not a running clock in the second half.
No, absolutely.
It looked like it was going to be, but
it'll be here until 11:30.
Could be.
Right, absolutely. And again, this is Blitz Live presented by Flint's Tire and Auto Service. I'm Dom Joseph, Greg Goulis, and Eric Ungaro finally got it. First time on the show.
It's
great to have you.
An education, right?
Absolutely. It's great to have you on the show. First time here. So moving on down. Again, it is 21-20 Hubbard on Girard, but it is very close. It was, again, 21-0 in the second quarter, and Girard has made a strong, heavy comeback. Now, Western Reserve is up on East Palestine 20-13 at half. Indian Creek has East Liverpool 14-0. McDonald, remember, we said they were up 21-0. It is 28-20. Columbiana has made a comeback.
Yeah, but hey, I didn't want to look like I was eating crow there.
Right.
Coach Bay teams don't give up. Mm-hmm. No, there's no way. They're going to battle till the end, and they're fighting for their life.
There. They did this last year. They came from behind. I think it was down 10 or 12, and then they won that overtime loss.
Some teams just, they got those
numbers. Exactly right.
Now, Campbell is up 7-0 on Bexley. That's the only update we've gotten so far out of that game, so things could be changing there. South Range is up 42-12 on Cleveland JFK. And this is a South Range team that is coming off a loss to their rival Springfield, bouncing back strong. Rittman is up on Champion, 14-0 at half. Mm. Canfield in the third quarter is up 21-0 on Alliance, and this is again on the road, so this is a big, big game for the Cardinals and taking it to the Aviators of Alliance. And Springfield is up 24-0 on Brookfield in the second quarter. Grand Valley has Berkshire at 14-7 in the second quarter. And the rest of these are some Pennsylvania scores that we'll bring up for you. Wilmington is up 12-6 on Farrell. Greenville has Grove City 26-0. Northwestern and Mercer area are deadlocked at 7. Slippery Rock and Reynolds are at 7-6 in favor of Slippery Rock. And Sharon has Hickory 21-17. So I got to say, this Hubbard Girard game has just captivated me. It's just an amazing turn of events at this game. We just went from, wow, this is just a Hubbard team that really wants to take it to them, really let them know what they're all about. And then the Girard team says, we're waiting for that little mistake by Hubbard. They get it, and they're turning it into points.
That's it. We talked about it all day.
Right.
That's
a 41-point half.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And, you know, you were in a position where if you just punt the ball, if you just don't fumble, you know, it's probably a different game. It's what we said. Just make those plays a draw. Nothing. Null and void. Just, get it out. I tell you what's interesting. Coach Perry, you got to give him some credit at Niles. Going into this game, a lot of people figured Pullen would just go down there and pound him. And, you know, 10-7. 10-7. That's good.
You know, you gave the Pennsylvania scores. Sometimes lost in the equation are Western Pennsylvania teams.
Yep.
Yeah. Eric, talk about the difference between Northeastern Ohio football and maybe Western Pennsylvania football, because Western PA, you know, you got guys like Joey Allegra from Newcastle, later went on to Ohio State to play football. Larry Graziani, who ended up going to Notre Dame from Newcastle. There's a lot of good football played in that Newcastle area.
I would agree. I think one thing, like growing up, you say like when Erie McDowell would come over, or Hickory, back in the day, they would come, like the physicality, they couldn't match the physicality of, but again, that was the Steel Valley back in the day.
Is it the type of football that they play?
Yeah.
The teachings of the coaches?
I think.
You know, because the old AFL used to be down, you know, pass. It was 3 yards in a cloud of dust in the NFL. So, you know, where's that happy medium at?
And I think that was it. You put those teams in a phone booth, you know, you're gapping down, kicking out, just beating on them. That isn't what they were doing back then.
Well, they called it smash-mouth football.
That's it.
Right.
Smash-mouth football. And, hey, you know what? There's something to it. Sometimes it's hard to stop. It's just as hard to stop as five wides and zinging it all over the place. So,
yeah, I would agree. And I had experience at my time at Ursuline playing for the Irish. We played Farrell. And, I mean, sure, they weren't one of these super top teams that are really going to bring it to you. But that was a team that never gave up game.
No. Farrell,
they fought hard the entirety of that game.
Yeah, no, Farrell doesn't play around.
Right.
Those guys got a lot of tradition there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Gannarell went over to Hickory for a while, and we've had some guys that have gone over to the border and played. I think even Hoffman was at, West Middlesex. They won a state championship. So, you know, there has been a lot of success going over there. I'm trying to think of the other game that I saw that jumped out at me. Now, obviously, Liberty, that, again, 14-0. That's the real deal there. And, you know, Coach Julia speaks for itself with that one.
Yeah, I would agree definitely on that one as well. 14-0 there, as you mentioned.
What's Western Reserve score?
The Western Reserve score,
20-13
on East Palestine.
At the half.
Yeah. I feel Reserve should have handled them.
But East Palestine has Parker Sherry. When you have a quarterback that can throw the ball downfield, I mean, you're in the ball game.
Got a game. And then, you know, they're coming off a big win. Feeling good. You know, even great coaches, Coach Engel would always say it's not upsets, they're setups.
Yeah.
Like you can't.
Good one.
No, I mean, really, like it's not an upset. It's just you went in there. You just thought you were going
to
roll over
somebody. And Kurgati used to say sudden victory instead of sudden death.
That's it. You're right.
Does the passing game set up the rushing game, or does the running game set up the passing game?
I guess it's all philosophy. I mean, every guy that I've
met. For Dick Angle, what did he do?
The running game set up the running game. It was like Butchie. It was, though. But, no, definitely. I think the best teams, you know, even Alabama, you look at them on the college level. You know, probably if they kept running the ball against Ohio State a few years ago, you know, they win the game. So every good team, I think, has to start with the running game, the physical line, being able to get, you know, 3 yards on third and three if you need it. That's just my belief, but then, yeah, because I was with Domesco and those guys and Bayek and Angle.
We'll never see 3 yards in a cloud of dust again, will we?
I don't know. You know, somebody's going to get cute one of these days and just go back to the stacked eye. These defenses are going to struggle. I'm telling you, you throw a tight end in the game, it's amazing. You watch a game, and, like, it baffles people. You know, most people now got that little H-back moving around.
The wishbone baffled everybody until the West Coast offense came in.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's true.
And they caught up, and then they catch up to that, and then, you know, they go to something else. And the run and shoot, you know, then now
it's
the pistol.
Yep.
It's on to the next. Right. And even the option has really taken storm, especially in the military schools.
Oh, yeah.
They run it constantly. Yep. I mean, I had a brother that went to the United States Military Academy, so I got to watch at the Army-Navy game a little bit more passion than normal. It was just option versus option, and it doesn't matter. You have the whole playbook because it's identical to the other teams, but you still can't stop it.
You know, a couple of years ago, our good friend Rob Lucklin worked the Army-Navy game.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and if you remember, Pat Pavlansky's daughter went to the Naval Academy, but he said, out of all the games you'll ever work, and he said, there've been a lot of good ones. He said the most passion you're going to see is the military game between Army and Navy in Philadelphia.
It's a feeling like no other. I've had the opportunity to see it twice in person. It's just an unbelievable experience. Army takes the field, the Apache helicopters fly over, Navy takes the field, the Blue Angels fly over. It's pride versus pride, but at the end of the day, both teams win.
And it's funny because you always, when we would send kids off to college, you know, you're like, oh, you know, they're their base of support, you know, you're going to be able to get a job. You know, we tell Dadish at Ohio State or Devion at Michigan or guys that went to North. You go to the military, those guys have network that's unlimited.
Yeah, you're set for life.
There's nothing.
Right.
There's no Notre Dame could compete with them, no one. It's right. A great place to go, great education.
Yeah, absolutely.
No doubt.
But again, it's just the whole offensive strategy of the option there. It's just because it's so, you can make so many different combinations out of it. It's just so unpredictable.
Gives an underdog a chance. That's
absolutely
really what it was there for. Cutting,
right.
You know, you don't have to block down and be physically better than the opposing team. Just cut them, do this,
right.
Be smart, know the playbook, and can move the ball.
I mean, we've seen the last couple of times Ohio State played Navy. The Navy gave Ohio State fits just because they couldn't stop the option.
And with Georgia Tech's humming.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, now they got athletes running that offense.
Absolutely.
So
it has really worked to a perfection for that team. Want to talk about another game. I mean, we knew it could have gone this way, but the East-Ursuline game. And East is up 21-7 and a half, and we knew this could happen. Ursuline was the favorite, but East is that team that could – this was the game that East could win to turn their season around.
We talk about signature wins. This could be a signature win for Brian and the East program.
Uh-huh. It could be a signature win, and it could be a signature loss on the other side.
Right.
So, you know, we got to – but, you know, you just want to talk to the positive parts of it, and you're right. If Coach Morrow, you know, could close this out, still a half to go, and anything can happen. Just stay mistake-free, no turnovers, don't give them any layups anywhere, and just make them earn it. Now, they're as physical as anybody. East.
In a game like this, when East is up, they don't want to go to halftime.
No, keep on going.
Nope. They don't want that clock to stop. They want to keep with that momentum.
They want to keep pushing,
because this is an Ursuline team that has been in this situation before and has been able to bounce back.
And we said it at the start. Talent-wise, you know, East is probably a little superior, but, you know, tradition-wise, Ursuline, yeah, so it was... Right. It is what it is.
You have to find a way to not give them a chance to get back in the game.
That's it.
Whoever. It doesn't, whether it's East or Ursuline, whoever. Can't let somebody get back in the
game. And look at Hubbard, did it to Gerard, let him get back in it. You know, and obviously you just can't let Ursuline have any opportunities. Make him drive 80 yards, 5-6 minutes, score, but no big deal. Huddle up.
Yeah, I think it's just because of the history of this matchup. Ursuline has just handled East in the history of this game. But, I mean, look at last week. Ursuline got blanked by Benedictine 35-0. Granted, Benedictine's a super strong team, but East hung with a very good Boardman team. So, just a little bit of difference. And plus, it's just Ursuline coming just getting slaughtered by Benedictine and just not having the confidence.
And maybe for the first time in years, actually back-to-back years, they have numbers at East.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, those guys came in there late last year. They didn't really get the weight program going. Emil and Mauro and those guys, they went over there a little bit late. And they, you know, I'm good friends with them, and they felt good going into this year.
Well, they had the entire offseason.
Yep. Mm-hmm. 70. They,
as
they,
did Doug at Lowellville that first
absolutely.
Year. He was, you know, thrust into that situation. Mm-hmm. And then he also had his, you know, chance to put in his...
You're able to go out there, get these kids that are on the fence, maybe didn't want to play, bring them in.
Right.
So...
Now, here's another matchup I want to talk about, and we mentioned this last week when Ed was on the show, Ed Puskas, of the editor for The Vindicator. Fitch is a very low-scoring team. They score the right... They're smart with the ball. They don't want to rush anything. They want to take their time, methodically work their way downfield. So it's not about numbers. It's about playing the game smart. And second quarter on Erie, it's only 8-0, but Fitch has the lead. Where do you see... Yeah. As a coach... Is that the way, is Fitch's strategy good?
Hey, listen, they got one of the best coaches ever come out of this area in Andorella.
Right.
One thing about those guys, they're not ego guys. They mm-hmm. don't care if it's 2-0, 3-0, 8-0, a win is a win to them.
Right.
So, veteran coaches play to their strength. Mm-hmm. You know, you can even see it with Julia now. Hey, he could have went out there and said, hey, we're going to go run and gun. We're going to try to beat you 35-30. No, he's going, we're going old school. We're going to just win this game 7-0, 7-6.
Right.
And is that score still holding up?
Right now it is.
14.
It only matters to the bettors whether you win by 21
right,
or 28.
Right, exactly, yep.
And them days are gone.
The last time I looked, none of these lines were on the Vegas line.
Oh,
yeah. just got a score update. Poland is up 17-7 now on... Niles, so Poland is pulling away here, and I mean we kind of expected this to happen.
Their physicality, I think, will take a toll going down the stretch. I would think, but again, you throw a pick, you fumble, they're back in it because they're on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So
Warren Harding's now up 21-0 on James Ford Rhodes School.
And this is a game that Warren Harding needed for sure to get back.
They need to win. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've probably been practicing all Maslin plays all week.
Yeah.
And getting ready for next week.
And
don't look ahead.
Right. Hey. Yeah, exactly. You don't want to just say, okay, we'll just knock this team out and get ready for Maslin. This James Ford Rhodes team can make a comeback. We've already seen it happen in several games tonight.
It could happen. You're right. You can never discredit anything.
Eric, you had a pretty good mentor as a coach, your dad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who did you draw from, your coaching style?
See, here's what happened to me, though.
Did you always want to be a coach?
I felt it. I came back from Kent and I started coaching at St. Anthony's. It was like Northeast Catholic. Mm-hmm. It was almost like a volunteer type thing. And then right away I went with Coach Domesco, who coached with my dad at Rand. So I went with him, and he made me the, quote, defensive coordinator, at 19 years old. So the thing was, that was good with me. So you say where you drew from. I just drew from the fact that I had 11 athletes, so I just started blitzing. Like, where Coach Engel was more of a 40-read guy, kind of be sound, big. Those guys were kind of tacticians. I just kind of drew from the fact that I was thrown to the wolves and Domesco let me go, kind of guided me from a defensive philosophy. And then, obviously, when you went to Howland, I had to earn my stripes a little bit. I had to run, Coach Engel's 40 a little bit. But and then after a while, he started trusting me, and we went, more 3-4 and a little multiple defense and do some things. So I guess, I just like... I always like to blitz.
Right.
Send guys, put pressure.
You're on the blitz.
Welcome to the blitz. This is perfect for you.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. We had a nice run. We had a lot of good players and being around a lot of good coaches, and I miss it. It's definitely something.
Well, we're glad to have you.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have this kind of knowledge on this show. It just makes it that much better.
I think we need to shout out to Champ and say hi and good luck.
Absolutely.
With everything that's going on.
Saw him the other day. Good luck, my man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thinking about you.
Want to update the scores again here on the Blitz Live presented by Flint's Tire and Auto Service. Nothing has changed in the Richmond-Edison game against Wellsville. Still 13-0 there. Again, Austintown-Fitch up 8-0 on Erie. At the half, nothing's changed. 24-0 Boardman on Howland. Waiting for an update on that game once they get started in the third quarter. West Branch is taking it to Beaver Local 37-0. This is West Branch team that just came off a big win against Crestview, and they're riding the momentum.
I told you, I saw them live and in color. They got some big boys out there,
mm-hmm.
man. They got some nice skill, and you know, DJ's a good friend of mine. I hope, you know, I hope things work out for him this year.
Absolutely. And LeBray is pulled away big time over Warren JFK, 48-7 in that game. East is up on Ursuline 21-7 at the half. Crestview and Struthers 21-14 there. Crestview has the lead. Southington dominating Sebring 34-0. Salem up 14-0 on United. Again, in the third quarter, Poland 17, Niles 7. In the third quarter, Newton Falls 20, Jackson Milton 14. So Newton Falls is taking the lead in that one. Ashtabula St. John is leading Newberry 12-6. And Latonia, this is a game we were talking about, Latonia with a 13-0 lead on Matthews. This would be awesome for the Bears.
We just talked about that. You said they might have a ticker parade.
Good things happen to good people.
That's right. It. That's what we said.
Either that or free fish sandwiches at McDonald's. One of the two.
Wyndham dominating Lowellville 35-0. Warren Harding, again, as we mentioned, leading John Ford's Rhodes 21-0. Lisbon continuing this dominance, 33-0 at the half on Mineral Ridge. Again, they had a great game last week as well. And this was the game everyone had circled on the calendar, game of the week, and it's lived up to the hype. Hubbard 21, Girard 20. And again, it was 21-0 Hubbard, and Girard has just walked right back into this game. It's going to come down to the wire.
No disappointment there.
Absolutely.
And I just got some guys that are at the game said it, you know, got a little chippy at the end of the game. I think someone got ejected. So
hate to see that.
That's it. You got to keep your composure.
Exactly.
Even though things, you know, they were going good for you for a while, going bad at the end of the half, you just got to regroup.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because we just saw what Hubbard did. In that case, it was Hubbard that kind of made that kind of action going after Girard. They can do this. They can still pull away in this game. It's just you got to keep that mental mindset there.
Yeah. No turnovers.
Right.
No big punt returns, kick returns, block punts.
So is that what you're stressing in the locker room at this point? It's just minimize the mistakes, or is just don't panic?
At this stage, you just tell guys to shut their mouth, sit down, listen, here's what we're doing. You know, don't start talking. Don't start thinking you're something you're not. We got to get back on pace.
In this case, Girard can't take their foot off the pedal.
No.
Exactly.
But in the other case for Hubbard, they better find a way to derail them.
Absolutely. And I mean, just if the updates are correct, Hubbard's helping them. Like Girard, them guys will need help. I mean, they got offense, so you can't help them. Just make them earn it. That's all. They go 60 yards.
Both ways.
Yep, absolutely.
Exactly. It's just incredible to see how this game has just turned in an instant, where one, like you said, one little fumble results in a touchdown, and then Hubbard's okay. Hey, it's just a little mistake. We'll get it right back. Fourth down, they got a punt, and Girard gets to it. They get that ball, and they score again. And then Hubbard trying to answer, can't. Girard gets it back, and they score.
End of the half.
Going into the half. So now they still have the momentum in their hands. So if you're Hubbard, you got to be nervous.
Because you got a lot of expectations.
Right.
A lot of expectations. And you're playing a hungry dog over there.
Absolutely.
Pearson and those guys are not going to back down.
Yeah, we talked about this last week on the show. It's just we saw how Hubbard was handling their opponent, and we just figured they're probably going to blank Girard. Yes, Girard had a good game, but, man, they just look legit. And here we are. This is just a fantastic matchup.
Hey, they got cocky.
So exactly.
Now they're going to be scrambling.
Let's not forget that McDonald-Columbiana score now. It's 28-20 at the half.
Hey!
Some people were writing Columbiana off. We weren't.
Right.
We're not writing Coach Spate off. Yeah. I'll tell you what. I covered a game down at Columbiana right after Bob Spate had his knee replaced.
Oh, yeah.
Now, most people would want that 2-3 months to, you know, get better. I think he only needed 24 hours.
No, he doesn't play around. I'm telling you, he's one of the best around. You know that. I mean, he's
as a person, too.
Oh, absolutely.
As a person.
I'll probably see him Monday. We usually go to a family reunion down Firestone, my wife's side. And
I'll be there.
The Mancini family, they used to do some student teaching with him, and he's always in the office down there, Labor Day, working.
There you go.
We have some big-time score updates here.
Uh-oh.
So Canfield has pulled away 34-0 in the third quarter.
There's a running clock.
Yep. In the third quarter, Ursuline 7, East 28. So the Golden Bears are running away.
We knew it could happen.
Right.
I don't think we thought that was a for sure, but You know, it's looking that way.
Yes, I'm very surprised to see that Ursuline isn't keeping it close and that East, again, just pedal to the metal, run away with it.
Well, East has got to find a way to close this out now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've been in some games last year. They weren't able to close them out. Now they have the opportunity to close it out, and Brian Merrill in the locker room can say this is what it feels like when you have a lead and you can close it out.
Right.
I'm telling you what, you give some momentum over there. I mean, they definitely have, you know, probably four or five of the best athletes in the area.
And right.
Them guys start believing in those role players, start stepping up, believing it. It could be a dangerous team.
Now, we were just talking about McDonough Columbiana. It's now a 2-point game.
Uh-oh.
Columbiana has scored. It is now 28-26. And Bexley has now scored. It is, I believe, 16-7. And Bexley has taken the lead over Campbell. But, yeah, Columbiana's coming back.
I hope the cheerleaders didn't leave.
In the Campbell game,
they need them more now.
Yeah, they go get them.
So, now Columbiana's closing in. So, what do you see here?
I see last year.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I see them. It's like a repeat. Deja vu.
Right.
Some teams just, I'm telling you, some teams are just hard to close out. No matter who they are, how good they are, how bad they are, how it's just a mental thing. Like, we always had that problem with Niles. Even mm-hmm. when we had some of our better teams, Niles would come and play, you know, Howland, like, just gangbusters.
Was that when Boren was the coach, or who was the coach there? Was he still there?
Well, here's the thing, though. It didn't even matter. Like, I think it was just a kid's mindset. It was like that Eastwood Mall mindset, like who you wanted to see in the mall, and you didn't want to be the one that lost in that game. It's crazy.
Are certain teams able to give other teams a problem where, you know, it's just like a mental block?
Oh, 100%.
Like yesterday, the Tigers and the Yankees played, okay? I'm a Tigers fan. I was rooting for the Yankees. I want to see a race between them and Boston. Yet the Tigers came back. And over the years, the Tigers have traditionally given the Yankees fits. So is that like in football, too, where there's one team out there that you just can't solve their puzzle?
It happens all the time. I mean, you see, all the years when our league, the Metro Athletic Conference at the time, and then it went into the AAC and things like that, you knew right away who could play who good. Like, Poland would always handle Niles. But then, you know, even if we beat Poland, we knew that, like, the Niles game was going to be a showdown. Like, Campbell would always beat up on Struthers. I'm not saying beat up on him, but they would handle him. And then we'd play Struthers, it'd be a battle. It'd be a war. You know, you're right. I don't know if it's just the psyche of the kid.
Mental block.
Yeah. You see it in the SEC. Even some bet, like Vanderbilt, will give certain teams just like a crazy challenge.
Right. Got good news in the Howland game. Howland is on the board. Got a field goal. So it's 24-3. So Howland is on the board, and it's only 3 points. But
I told you, their kicker Luke. I mean, he's like, seriously, he's probably one of the best in the state.
Right.
I mean, you just got to kind of get in those ugly games and get a win, and they're going to turn it around, and hopefully they turn the half around because they played a good second half last week.
Right.
They kind of fell apart just a little bit at the end of the first half, and I think Lakeview got two scores on them, and they played good defense and moved the ball second half.
Now, we do have another score update. We're going to take it out to Bob Ettinger, who's at Stambaugh Stadium in the Cardinal Mooney Archbishop Hoban game. Let's see what's going on there.
This is Bob Ettinger reporting from Stambaugh Stadium, where Cardinal Mooney trails Akron Hoban 21-7 at the half.
It's gone to half.
The Knights put up two touchdowns in the second quarter. Tyrus Dickerson carried in from 5. Mason Tipton took a 65-yard pass from Shane Hamm. And the Knights lead 21-7. Jason Santese is leading the Cardinals offense. 13 carries for 60 yards and a touchdown. Murphy is 1-for-4. John Murphy from Mooney is 1-for-4 passing for 14 yards. Anthony Fire has the lone reception for those 14 yards. Passing with an interception and a touchdown for 172 yards. Tipton's caught 4 balls for 136 yards. We head to the third quarter. Hoban leads Mooney 21-7 at Stambaugh Stadium.
All right, so, yep, at the half, it's 21-7. Archbishop Hoban over Cardinal Mooney, and we talked about just how good Hoban is. But for Cardinal Mooney, they should be happy. They're only down 2 scores. I don't think this one's over.
Well, that's 21 answered for Akron Hoban, though.
Yeah.
Remember,
right.
Cardinal Mooney went up 7-0.
Yep. And then remember we talked about how they, I think they got a pick early on, you know, ran it down to the 6-yard line, punched it in. And I mean, hey, listen, I'm a Valley guy, and, you know, obviously Tyrrell's from here, so, you know, I root for him as long as he's not playing any local teams. But I'm telling you, they're
a juggernaut.
Yeah, they're as good as anybody in the state. So it's no shame in losing to them, and at least you're in a game like this where you're right. You got a shot. It's not running clock or anything crazy.
Long way to go. There's another 24 minutes to play.
Now Poland has pulled away from Niles. Another touchdown on the board for them. It's 24-7. Bulldogs on top of the Red Dragons. So it's just Poland kind of sitting comfortable here.
That'd be two road wins if they can hold on, because they went to Marlington last week and won.
Oh, right. That was big.
Because that was a huge win for Poland.
Oh, absolutely. And like we said, you know, regardless of what Marlington is had coming back in their league, they're going to win 7 games.
Right.
That's a lot of points.
Absolutely. Looking at some of these other scores here, again, updating the Boardman game, it is 24-3. Boardman leads over Howland in the third quarter. For those of you that are interested in the game of the week, it is still 21-20 Hubbard over Girard. Again, if you thought that it was 21-0 Hubbard and you just haven't checked the updates, whole new ball game in that one. It's 21-20. Girard is right back in it. It's just unbelievable to see how that one has closed in so quickly, and just anxious to see what happens in this second half, because we might see a whole different ball game where it's just they can't get to the end zone.
You talk about one of those games you'd pay to go to. That's one of the games I think we would pay to go to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what makes high school football good. And plus the coaching staffs know each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're friends. There's a rivalry there. They just texted me and said, like, Hubbard's move, they're down to about the 20. So I think when you say, like, what do you tell your guys? Hey, look, here's the deal. We're going to pound the ball, slow this down a little bit, try to punch it in, take some time off the clock, get Gerard off the field, and, you know, that's what you got to do. So hopefully get some stops.
Your offense might be the best defense for them.
That's it, right there.
Right. Well, we're going to let these third quarter games shake up a little bit here. Anxious to see what happens in that Hubbard-Gerard game and all of these other matchups in the Valley. So we're going to take our next break here and get you updated as the third quarter's come to an end going into the fourth. So this is the Blitz Live presented by Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. I'm Dom Joseph. This is Greg Goulis. And Eric Ungaro. Got it. Finally. I'm getting it. We're working on it. So we're going to listen to some music from the Valley. But this is the Blitz Live presented by Flynn's Tire and Auto Service.
We are Venture Salem. We produce the fascias, trim elements, and interior plastic components used on millions of cars today. We are a great place to start building a career from the ground up as a light industrial laborer, robotics operator, team leader, and more. Begin your career with Ventura Salem. Apply today at jobs.ventura.com. Ventura Salem, where careers are built.
Hi, I'm Joe Flynn. For a great deal on tires, just drive in any Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Or you can just call us.
Remember, Flynn's does more than just tires. From brakes and mufflers to scheduled maintenance and general repairs, Flynn's does it all. Go to FlynnsTire.com for money-saving coupons.
For dependable tires and expert service, go to Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Visit FlynnsTire.com to request an appointment.
And tell them Finney sent you.
And we walk
couldn't stay. I know I wanna hold you, but you know I couldn't stay.
it comes to me. Good times, you can find me here. You don't need to knock, you just come on in. Last time around, you in and out. So this time, please plan to stay a while. 'Cause I'd like to get to know you. I'd like to get to know you. I'd like to get to know a good thing when it comes. And I'd like to say I love you. Hear it coming to me from another. And know for sure those words won't ever get worn out. Why is it always a fight trying to get life to fit in the frame? I should be waiting for life before building it anyway. Good times, you can find me here. You don't need a knock, you just come right in. Last time around, you were in and out. So this time, please plan to stay a while. 'Cause I'd like to get to know you. I'd like to get to know you. I'd like to get to know a good thing when it comes. And I'd like to say I love you. Hear it coming to me from another. And know for sure those words won't ever get worn out. I'd say 89-ish to probably 98. I remember never ever having any fears of anything. Singing, here comes the sun and playing out in the grass. Back before life came around and kicked my. But good times, I know you're coming back. And I'd like to get to know you. I'd like to get to know you. I'd like to get to know a good thing when it comes. And I'd like to say I love you. Hear it coming to me from another. And know for sure those words won't ever get worn out. I've been looking for some love to guide me. I've been looking for some love to guide me. I've been looking for some love, but now I'm gonna let it look for me. Looking for some love to guide me. I've been looking for some love to guide me. I've been looking for some love, and now I'm gonna let it look for, let it look for me. We'll be right back.
tires? Call Flynn's first.
Where the advertised tire price is the entire price. And tell them Finney sent you.
We are Venture Salem. We produce the fascias, trim elements, and interior plastic components used on millions of cars today. We are a great place to start building a career from the ground up as a light industrial laborer, robotics operator, team leader, and more. Begin your career with Venture Salem. Apply today at jobs.ventura.com. Venture Salem, where careers are built.
Good solid offensive line play. Their defense has always been a hard-hitting defense.
This is Blitz Live.
And welcome back to the Blitz Live presented by Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. If you don't have the time to check your tires properly for wear and correct tire pressure, go to Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Flynn's offers free tire and pressure checks. Just stop in and ask, they'll do it for you. That's Flynn Tire and Auto Service. I'm Dom Joseph alongside Greg Gulas and a newcomer, Ed Puskas. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Dom.
Well, we've seen the scores, and nothing's changed in the Hubbard-Girard game. Hubbard got on the board 28-20 now, but just can you believe how much that score has fluctuated over the night?
Well, Eric has left and gone to the game. It's 28-26 now. Hubbard just held on the two-point conversion.
Wow. Well,
game of the night?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what we thought going in, and not disappointed at all.
Right. And when you saw Hubbard go up 21-0, did you think they were just going to run away with it, or did you expect Girard to give them a run for their money?
Girard always puts points on the board, so I wasn't too worried, but, it looks like almost like it's going to be one of those games where the last team to have the ball might pull it out.
Right.
That's exactly what we talked about earlier.
I was going to say, we talked about that, that's how you saw a lot of games going last week. Just it could come down to whoever has the ball last will end up the winner. Do you see this happening in the Hubbard-Girard game, or do you think someone kind of runs away with it in the fourth?
No, I think it's going to stay. I think it's going to stay close. I think that's a one-score game all the way.
Ed McDonald last year suffered their first loss of the season to Columbiana. They were 6 points away from a perfect season. They got out of the chute real quick against Columbiana, and now all of a sudden it's 35-26.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised. I mean, McDonald had its way with Brookfield last week, I should say, open the season. And Columbiana is obviously a pretty game opponent on the field at McDonald's. So, that's another good game.
Is Springfield local for real? They're beating Brookfield right now 24-6 after that big win last week against South Range.
Well, yeah, it doesn't seem to be much of a letdown. So, I think they're for real.
Now, we do have an audio update coming from the Ursuline East game where I cannot believe where this game has gone. Brian Zenis is going to give us the update on what exactly is going on in the Ursuline East battle.
This is Brian Zenis from Indy Blitz from Radio Stadium. It's the crap out of Ursuline, 34-7. East again coming up with the big plays. Zane Kyler links up with Delshawn Petrosky, where Kyler pitched the ball to Petrosky, and Petrosky threw the ball back to Kyler, and that turned into a 58-yard touchdown. And then East got an 80-yard pick six against Ursuline. And that player was... that name is not in front of me at the moment. But reporting from Brian, this is Brian Smitty Blitz.
Atta boy, Brian.
Your best. We appreciate it. It is 34-7. The East Golden Bears are taking it to the Ursuline Fighting Irish. Never would have seen this coming.
Well, somebody did.
Yes.
Somebody did.
Yes.
Well, there were a couple of us,
You being one of the two.
Well, I'll toot my own horn on that. But yeah, I just had a feeling. I can't explain it. It's been a long time, and probably 20 years since a city team has beaten Ursuline. And I just had a good feeling about the Golden Bears this week.
And there are signature wins, and then there are signature wins. If you remember, Jim Tressel goes up to Ann Arbor, beats Ohio State, Michigan in their first year. He had a signature win when he beat Akron in his 2-9 season here at Youngstown State. Could this be the signature win that East is looking for? And I realize it's a different level, but nonetheless, it's a big win if they find a way to finally close out the W.
Yeah. You know, they're a program that has gone through all kinds of coaching turmoil and whatever, and it's kind of settled down now with Brian Merrow there. And yeah,
and they finally have numbers.
This could be the win that they've been looking for.
Absolutely. Now I do want to update another score, and this one is starting to get away from Cardinal Mooney. It is 35-7 Archbishop Hoban. Former state champions up 35-7. I'm sure you knew Hoban was going to kind of take it to Cardinal Mooney, or at least come out on top.
Yeah, I had Hoban win in that game. They beat St. Ignatius last week.
Yeah, and that's not an easy task.
On the road. Yeah, on the road.
And you play up and you beat a St. Ignatius. So Hoban's tough. I mean, I think three-time defending state champions. So
led by a local guy.
Led by Tim Terrell, Ursulin, and YSU grad.
Yep.
So if you're the coach of Cardinal Mooney here, I mean, you just see it's Hoban's running away with it. Can you get anything out of this game knowing Hoban's kind of got it from here?
Well, yeah, I mean, you accentuate the positives. I mean, yeah, there's going to be positives. You know, you go back and look at the film. You get in a lot of kids that might not ordinarily see the field, which will help you down the road.
Absolutely.
What about that running clock, though? We talked about that with Eric and Garrow. There are several games going to a running clock today. It's only the second week of the season.
Yeah, you know, some of these early season matchups tend to go that way, and we saw it last week, I think, with Wyndham and Sebring and a couple other games. But I think it's a good thing. You know, I think if it lessens, you know, if one or two more kids, you know, don't get hurt as a result of that, the downside is that with a running clock, it takes away time that other kids might get into a game.
Right.
You know, we talked earlier, Dom and I, and also Eric, that the biggest adjustment you get to make is between weeks 1 and 2. For those teams in week 2 that didn't make that adjustment, how does it bode now for week number 3?
Well, it puts the onus on, you know, your season's not a quarter over, not quite a quarter over, but close to it, your regular season. So, it makes week 3 even more important. Because, you know, a lot of teams can survive an 0-2 start. You can't survive an 0-3 start and expect to win a championship or make the playoffs.
Now, we're starting to get a couple of final scores in now. I want to bring those up for you. Final score, LeBray 55, Warren JFK 14. So LeBray and John Armini continuing to roll. It happened. It actually happened. Latonia 19-0 over Matthews. The Bears are 2-0. Greg, can you believe it?
Yeah, I can. Paul Julia has worked his magic at other places. He's done it at Crestview. He's done it at Poland. You know, even when he was an assistant coach at Poland, same thing. He's a good coach, and he's a better person.
Exactly.
So he's got these kids believing. You talk about the team that's 0-2 that has to go into week 3. This team's 2-0 looking to go 3-0 for the first time in forever. Congratulations to them.
Yeah, that's great to see. And I called it, I think, last week, you know, that they have a really good shot to go 2-0, I should say. And after we saw what Matthews did against St. John, they got shut out last week.
Right.
So, you know, not a deep Matthews team, but kudos to Latonia for a 2-0 start.
And, you know, that's two donuts right now for Matthews. They better find a way to put some points on the board.
Right, exactly. Now, here's a score that you'll be interested to see here. Warren Harding was able to run away. Final score in that game, 40-0. And that was a big win for Harding.
Yeah, you know, Harding's now put 6 decent quarters together.
Yes.
If you count the second half of the game against Canton McKinley last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not a good start. They were down 28-0 at half, but they
shut them out in the second half.
Scored a couple touchdowns in the second half. Had a chance to get within 7 at one point in that game and couldn't quite get it done, but you know, they're building on that now.
So South Range has made a comeback. They have won. Final score 56-12 in that one. The Raiders taking it to JFK in a game where they just wanted to throw up as many points as they could to get the confidence back after losing to arch rival Springfield.
Well, yeah, like Greg said, you know, you want to improve from week 1 to week 2. easier opponent this week, obviously, for South Range than rival Springfield, but still, you have to execute, and they did.
Absolutely. And another final score for you. Canfield has shut out Alliance 35-0. So 2-0 is the Canfield Cardinals.
About what I expected based on what we saw Alliance do at Girard last week. I think it was 63-13 against Hubbard. And, you know, Canfield's off to another good start.
Canfield last year only gave up, I believe, 100 points total in defense. And they picked up right where they left off.
So now here is a big-time score for you. It's the fourth quarter. It's a tie between McDonald and Columbiana, 35 apiece.
There you go.
Wow, I did not see that one coming.
So, I mean, do you think Columbiana comes out on top at the end of the fourth quarter, or do you think this is an overtime battle?
Last team that has the football.
Yeah.
And I don't know who that is right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, this is like deja vu, like Yogi said, all over again.
Right.
Because I believe they were winning by 10 or 12 last year, had to go to overtime, and that was their first loss of the year.
Yeah, tough. It was a tough break last year, and you know, you hate to say this factors into computer points in week two, but you know, like Girard Hubbard, the loser of that game is gonna have a tough row to hoe.
Well, there's a lot of points on the board in week number two for all these teams.
Now here's another interesting score. In the fourth quarter, we have another tie between Fitch and Erie. They're deadlocked at 8.
Wow. Yeah, Fitch plays those low-scoring games.
Right, we talked about this earlier.
And, you know, Erie is a team that is an amalgamation of three Erie City teams.
Mm. Without McDowell, because they will play McDowell later on in the year.
Yeah, McDowell is kind of a, you know, in terms of compared to Youngstown, McDowell would be the Fitch team, you know, from the suburb or whatever. But they put together the three Erie teams into one, and it's a powerhouse. They made the playoffs last year.
And one more update, Boardman has scored yet again. It is 31-3, and kind of talked about this earlier, it's just Howland is just not the same team.
Yeah, they've lost a lot of skill people from the last couple of years, and, you know, until they, you know, get some experience in those positions, it's going to be hard for them to score some points. I mean, they've now scored, 12 points in two games.
And conversely, Boardman's put over 50 points on the board, so...
Yeah, Boardman has weapons, especially with Ohura at quarterback. He's got weapons. He's got targets. Joe Erasi, the running back, is back.
Yep, Trevina's out for the first time.
And I'm sure we're going to be getting the update from Brian Zinnes eventually here, but it's over. East has done it. Final score, 34-7. Just takeaways from that. East just absolutely handled Ursuline.
Yeah, I'm like I said, I'm not surprised East won the game. I'm a little surprised at how one-sided it was. You know, it does not bode well for the rest of the season for Ursuline, which really suffered an L before it played a game,
right.
You know, when they lost their starting quarterback.
Yeah. And we were kind of talking about this before the game started, and just looking, comparing Ursuline to East. East hung well with Boardman. They played very well against them, and Ursuline got blanked by Benedictine. Obviously, they shouldn't even be on the same field as Benedictine, how good they are. And just the lack of confidence at the U versus East, being able to say, hey, we hung with a team that is legit in Boardman, and just having that confidence going into this game, and be able to protect the home field and to get that win.
Yeah, that, you know, you look at the rest of the schedule for Ursuline, and you think, okay, this is a game they had a chance to win, and what does that say about the rest of their season? And obviously the Mooney game is the Mooney game, you know, and you throw the records out the window on that one, But realistically, Ursuline plays a really tough schedule. This was probably their best shot, you know, for a while to win a game.
And one of their two wins last year was against East.
And
exactly.
You mentioned Cardinal Mooney. We do have an update live from that game. Let's go to Bob Ettinger, who's at the Cardinal Mooney Archbishop Hoban game. Let's see what's going on there and if Mooney's making any kind of comeback.
This is Bob Ettinger reporting from Stambaugh Stadium, where Mooney has fallen behind Akron Hoban 42-7 after giving up three scores in the third quarter. The Cardinals were held to a negative 10 yards of offense in the period. We move to the fourth quarter, Hoban 42, Mooney 7 from Stambaugh Stadium.
And I'm honestly not surprised. It's just because of how good Archbishop Hoban is.
Yeah, Hoban is strong. You don't win three state championships in a row, as I might add that Ursulin did
right
at one point a decade ago, and you lose kids over time, you know, over mm-hmm. that 3-year period, and some kids come in and replace other kids, and to keep that level of play going speaks volumes about Hoban.
Ed, you're going to be getting out of here in a few minutes. You got to go back to your desk. We're going to be winding down. But let's talk a little bit of college football here real quick.
Yeah.
There's a few big ball games tomorrow. There's a couple storylines. Chip Kelly is back with UCLA. I see where he named Wilton Spate, who is not the type of quarterback for a Chip Kelly system. So what do you think Chip Kelly will do this year at UCLA?
You know, that's a program that should always be decent. You know, there may be a kind of an adjustment period, especially if he doesn't have the kind of quarterback that he normally likes to have. And, you know, I saw a little of Wilton Spate, as I'm sure you did, at Michigan. And, you know, hopefully he's got,
receivers.
Yeah, if he has receivers, then, you know, he's only as good as his receivers. But, you know, he didn't have much in that way at Michigan. And so, you know, he didn't do a whole lot. But Kelly is the offensive guru, you know. So if he can get something out of him, if anybody can get something out of him, I think he probably can.
Is it Tua Tagovailoa, or is it Jalen Hurts at Alabama? I don't know if anything crossed the wire. We talked about it earlier. You didn't see anything, but who do you think? What's your gut tell you?
You know, it's tough. I think somebody asked me about this last week. I don't know if it was in here or somewhere else, but I wouldn't be surprised if both of those guys play. You know, I think they both bring different things to the game. You know, it's tough to run a two-quarterback system, but I think, you know, over the course of, you know, 12 regular season games, somebody's going to get hurt, somebody's going to have an off day. I would be shocked if both those guys didn't get some opportunities.
That's fair. I would say that. And it just seems to appear that the biggest game coming up this weekend is Michigan-Notre Dame. Who do you think comes out on top in that one?
I usually root for the blimp in that one. you know, it's tough for me. You know, as an Ohio State fan, you know, I've heard arguments where, you know, you always root for the other Big Ten team,
mm-hmm.
and I've heard other people say, "How could you ever root for Michigan?" So I'm kind of torn. I don't know which. I think both these teams have a tendency to be rated high at the beginning of the season. I don't know if that's out of, you know, desire more than anything else. Sometimes it's legit. I mean, Michigan was number 2 in the nation the 1 year when they played Ohio State in that 42-39 game. Now, it's been a while since they've been rated that high. But Notre Dame tends to get some love early in the season until they such time as they lose it. So
until Brian Kelly self-destructs.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, I think whoever comes out on top of that game is set up to, you know, to be in the top 10.
In the mix.
You know, for a while.
I agree with that. Well, let's go down to Columbus then. Is it Oregon State? Do they give them they were 1-11 a season ago. Do they give the Buckeyes with all the turmoil that has been surrounding Ohio State, do they give them a battle or not?
I don't think so. I think, you know, unless Dwayne Haskins comes out and has some jitters or you know, throws a couple early picks, I think Ohio State rolls them pretty good. You know, like I said, a couple early turnovers maybe can give some belief to Oregon State, but this Ohio State team is as talented as any
year
they've put on
year
the field
after
in a long
year.
Time. So.
Well, the only other game I would think about is the Washington and Georgia game.
Yeah,
I mean a lot of people have Washington in the Final Four. Georgia's always been in the mix now. So, what's your take on that?
That's a game I'd like to watch.
Right.
You know, hard to say. I mean, I'm going to say SEC. I'm going to say Georgia just because I think the SEC overall is stronger than the Pac-12. But
I agree with that.
You know, yeah. I could see that going either way.
Right. Well, Ed, thank you very much for joining us. We'll let you get back to work. We're going to take our final break, and we will have our final score updates here from the Blitz Live presented by Flint's Tire and Auto Service. You're going to listen to some more music from the Valley, and then we'll get you those final scores. This is the Blitz Live presented by Flynn's Tire and Auto Service.
Hi, I'm Joe Flynn. For a great deal on tires, just drive in any Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Or you can just call us.
Remember, Flynn's does more than just tires, from brakes and mufflers to scheduled maintenance and general repairs. Flynn's does it all. Go to FlynnsTire.com for money-saving coupons.
For dependable tires and expert service, go to Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Visit FlynnsTire.com to request an appointment.
And tell them Finney sent you.
Need tires? Call Flynn's First.
Where the advertised tire price is the entire price. And tell them Finney sent you.
We are Venture Salem. We produce the fascias, trim elements, and interior plastic components used on millions of cars today. We are a great place to start building a career from the ground up. As a light industrial laborer, robotics operator, team leader, and more. Begin your career with Ventra Salem. Apply today at jobs.ventra.com. Ventra Salem,
where careers are built.
And welcome back to the Blitz Live, presented by Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Tire Review Magazine named Flynn's Tire and Auto Service as the independent tire dealer, top shop in all of North America. So if you want confidence that your vehicle is in good hands, then go to Flynn's. And then there were two. I'm Dom Joseph, alongside Greg Gulas. We've had some very interesting final scores coming in here. What stood out to you as the most surprising, if any?
I don't know if it was a surprise, but I'm really happy to see Letonia beat Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I want Matthews to lose, but I want to see Letonia win. And that was so nice to see Paul Julia 19-0 today. Letonia's 2-0.
Absolutely.
So it's now, a feel-good story,
right.
Dom.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why.
Right.
I have nothing against the other teams.
Yes.
We've got a barn burner in Hubbard.
Mm-hmm.
We have a barn burner in Columbiana with McDonald with Columbiana. McDonald just took the lead 42-35 in the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dogfight in Hubbard right now. So we've got some good games.
Yeah.
For week number two, it's tremendous.
For week two, this is awesome football that we're getting to see. Run through some of the final scores that we have been getting here. Boardman has defeated Howland. Final score 31-17. So the Spartans come out on top there.
Howland actually came back, scored two more touchdowns in the fourth quarter
because
they were
down. Finish for them.
They were down 31-3.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good finish for Howland. Good momentum going into the next week.
Need that.
LeBray dominates Warren JFK 55-14. A game that LeBray controlled since the start from the opening kick. They had it taken care of. East upsets Ursuline 34-7 in a victory not a lot of people saw coming. A lot of people thought Ursuline were going to handle the Golden Bears, but East just takes over.
And again, we talk about a signature win. We talked about that with Eric. We talked about that with Ed. Now we're going to talk about it again. Maybe this is the type of win East needs now to propel them for the rest of the season. Now you're 1-1, not sitting at 0-2. You're not scratching your head trying to figure out what you have to do. I think they just figured out what they need to do.
Exactly. Yeah, so this is a huge win for East and a situation for Ursuline where they haven't really been in before against a team like East. They really don't know where to go from here. So we'll see how Ursuline bounces back.
Larry Kemp will find a way to point them in the right direction.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They do play a tough schedule. Don't discount that. Ursuline plays one of the toughest schedules around.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Southington dominates Sebring. Final score 55-8. Poland has defeated Niles 34-7. So that puts Niles at 0-2.
Those are two big wins for Poland because they're both on the road.
Absolutely, yep, two road wins for Poland. Can't wait for them to get back home, that's for sure. St. John defeats Newbury 26-6. Letonia, as you mentioned, wins 19-0 over Matthews, puts them at 2-0. And Warren Harding blanks John Ford Rhodes 40-0. And lastly here we have Indian Creek defeating East Liverpool 36-7.
Well, we go back to the Warren Harding game now. Ed Puskas hit the nail right on the head, okay? The first two quarters of their game against Canton McKinley had no idea what was going on. They shut them out in the second half. Today they come out and win 40-0. So they've got six straight quarters now of shutout football.
Right.
And they're 1-1, not 0-2.
Exactly.
It's big.
Yeah, that is definitely a huge win for them. I want to see what else I missed here. I want to make sure I didn't. South Range defeated Cleveland JFK 56-12, and Canfield blanks Alliance 35-0.
Two back-to-back wins for Canfield right now. Their defense is right where it should be.
Right. Now, that is a lethal Canfield squad, too, this year.
And in the fourth quarter, we've got Crestview up now over Struthers 28-14.
Absolutely, and you mentioned the barn burner in the McDonald-Columbiana game in the fourth quarter. McDonald 42, Columbiana 35. This one is definitely going to come down to the wire. And in the Hubbard-Girard game, the game of the week, Hubbard has pulled away 35-26. So we will let you know if anything has changed there as we go on. But Hubbard's got it right now.
And at 35-26, that's a two-possession game right now.
Mm-hmm.
You can't score 9 points on one possession.
Right.
So that's a two-possession game.
So
Two possessions are tough, Lee.
Do you think it's safe to say Hubbard may have this covered?
No, I'm not going to say it's safe to say, but when it's later in the game, okay, one possession to try to tie it, send it into overtime, I can understand it.
Right.
Now you have to find a way to have two possessions in order to get to the tie or try to win.
Absolutely. So as we look at some of these games, also Archbishop Hovind, 42-7 over Cardinal Mooney. So we kind of saw this coming out of Hovind, a team that is just dominated in every way, shape, and form. But
well,
Cardinal Mooney's a good team, but I didn't think it was going to be this bad.
Three-time state defending champs have something going on.
Yeah, right. I don't know what Mooney could have done different against this team. It's just they're just too good.
Well, I think when you look back to week one, Akron Hovind kind of set the stage by going up to St. Ignatius and winning.
Right.
So this is two wins for them. That's two wins on the road.
And like you mentioned, St. Ignatius is a very,
very,
very hostile environment.
It's a good ball club, too, year in and year out.
Absolutely. And also want to bring up, in the third quarter, Springfield up on Brookfield 24-6. This Springfield team is showing some promise.
Well, and you know what? They're struggling, though, to put some points on the board. That's the tough part. You know, Randy Clark is he's an excellent coach. And, you know, again, you're going into Springfield Local, who has defeated South Range already.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a 2-0 start for Springfield Local if they hold on both wins at home.
Right. And another interesting game to look at, Liberty's up on Lakeview 14-0.
Yep, I see that too, and that's late in the game as well. So Lakeview beats Howland last week, 14-9. Can't put any points on the board right now. And Liberty lost to Struthers last week. Pretty
right.
good.
And speaking of Struthers, they're down to Crestview right now, 28-14.
Yep, they're doubled up.
So out of Crestview, do you think this is a good momentum shifter for them after getting taken out by West Branch last week?
If Crestview can hang on a win, that's a big, big win for Paul Cusick and his Rebels.
Yeah, and this is a Crestview team. Crestview's always good. Crestview's always a tough team.
They went 5-5 last year. That was a very un-Rebel-like type season.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Paul Cusick is a tremendous coach. Not a good coach. He's a tremendous coach. So, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit longer to get things going, and a big win like this could point you in the right direction. Now, going back
right.
to Struthers next Friday will be celebrating the 50th anniversary of their 1967 and 1968 undefeated teams. They went 9-0-1 and 10-0, I believe. They went 19-0-1 over those 2 years, back-to-back undefeated years. Gary Zetz was the quarterback. Guys like Jimmy Visengardi played, Donnie Klontz, the Murphy brothers, the Suber brothers, the Zetz brothers.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a nice situation next week to celebrate with the Struthers
right.
group. They're calling them all back, hoping that they can show up. So you don't want to come back on a loss, but if you have to, you might as well be there with some of the old-timers and show them, hey, thank you for the tradition
right.
you've started.
Absolutely. And another game I want to bring up is that Austintown, Fitch, and Erie are deadlocked at 8 in the fourth quarter.
Pretty high scoring to me.
Right. Typical Austintown Fitch keeping it low scoring.
Well, you know, it doesn't matter how many points you score as long as you win. But, again, two offenses struggling and two defenses doing a pretty good job here in the second week of the season.
I was going to say, what do you think Fitch needs to do here in these final minutes
after
Erie?
Well, you talk about who's going to win it with the last possession.
Mm-hmm.
This is the reverse of that last possession.
Right.
You want to have the last possession to try to win it.
Right. And
you're just not putting too many points on the board.
Right. Yeah, just waiting to see as these final scores are slowly starting to creep in here. You mentioned Warren Harding defeating Rhodes 40-0. That's a good win for them after losing to Canton McKinley.
It's a game you had to have. Because
exactly.
where are you going next week?
Right, Massillon.
That's exactly
just,
right.
That is a very, like you mentioned with... can't remember. Ignatius, that was it.
Exactly.
St. Ignatius, just hostile environment. That's the same as Massillon. Massillon is very tough to beat, and we do have a score update, and it's over now. It's the fourth quarter, 42-26 Hubbard on Girard. So the Eagles have pretty much sealed this one shut. So, I mean...
Well, that's three scores. Oh, actually, two scores right there, but...
That's huge for Hubbard.
It is. Hey, Girard could very easily have, you know... said, let's pull the kids in and forget it. They score 20 unanswered to go to 21-20 at the half.
Right.
Teams don't quit. Girard doesn't quit.
Absolutely.
Hubbard won't let their foot off the pedal either.
Mm-mm. And this is a Hubbard team. I mean, Hubbard had the edge going into the game where everyone felt it was Hubbard's game to lose, but man, just...
Don't tell that to Girard.
Right, exactly. Girard was able to stick with them the whole way through.
Well, Hubbard scored 62 points last week against the Lions. They scored 42 this week. So that's 105 points. They're averaging 52.5 points a game. I don't think their offense has a problem.
Right. And with Gerard, you can't be disappointed coming out of it. Yes, you lose to Hubbard in a game you really wanted to have, but, man, you fought hard in this.
You did. You did.
So, looking in here, there is one game tomorrow we must mention, is that Valley Christian and Western Reserve Academy. Valley Christian is a good school this year.
Well, they are. You know, it's player of the week was Milan Square.
Right. The defensive back for Valley Christian.
He, you know, almost single-handedly beat Camel.
Right. So going through some of these scores again here in the third quarter, Richmond Edison is up on Wellsville 30-7. Fourth quarter, Austintown Fitch and Erie are tied at 8. Final score, Boardman 31, Howland 17. And West Branch in the fourth quarter taking it to Beaver Local 50-7. West Branch looks good.
Well, they do right now. They put some points on the board last week and again this week. So, you know.
So West Branch keeping it coming. And LaBrae defeated Warren JFK 55-14. Man, LaBrae, that's another team this year just putting up a ton of points early on so far.
Well, you got to sustain that, too. I mean, mm-hmm. you can't go 55 and then go 5 or 6, mm-hmm. 7, 8 points. It just doesn't make it. So,
right.
You know, John Armini has a nice thing going on right now with the Vikings.
Absolutely. And also final score from Rayon Stadium, East 34, Ursuline 7. Crestview is up 28-14 on Struthers in the third. Final score, Southington 55, Sebring 8. Salem in the third quarter is up 22-0 on United. We kind of saw this one going this way towards Salem, but are you interested to see that it's still a shutout?
I don't want to say shocked, but kind of surprised mm-hmm. that DJ hasn't been able to put any points on the board with United Local.
Mm-hmm. So Salem has the 22-0 lead right now, third quarter so far in that one. Final score, Poland 34, Niles 7. In the third quarter, Newton Falls 20, Jackson Milton 14. So Newton Falls is taking the lead in that one. And we have a final score update for you that just came in. McDonald survives and defeats Columbiana 42-35. So Columbiana does not do what they do last year and make the comeback for the win, ending the undefeated season for McDonald. McDonald is 2-0.
And all of a sudden, Columbiana finds themselves 0-2.
Right. Yeah, and this is a tough loss for Columbiana. To be able to stick with them all the way through and just that these final minutes, Columbiana or McDonald gets on the board to top them.
Well, it's vindication. Mm-hmm. You know, last year they let it slip away. This year they did not.
Right. Yeah, it's just, and that's huge for McDonald.
It is.
I mean, yes, it's to go 2-0, but to be able to get revenge on the team that ended your undefeated season last year.
And you know what? And one of the unheralded coaches in the area, you don't hear a lot about him. He's not flashy, but all he does is go out and win, is Dan Williams mm-hmm. at McDonald. He went 8-2
right.
last year. 6 points separates him from a perfect season, and all of a sudden he's 2-0 this year. So he's 10-2 in his last 12 games.
Right. Now, this is a huge start to the season for McDonald, and unfortunately for Columbiana, they fall to 0-2. Ashtabula St. John is up. Has actually defeated Newbury 26-6, final score there. Latonia is 2-0. They defeat Matthews 19-0, which puts Matthews 0-2. And this is a rough start for this Matthews squad.
Without a score this year so far.
Yes, they haven't scored yet this year. So if you're Matthews, are you putting more pressure on scoring or winning?
Good question. You better
yeah.
find a way to put some points on the scoreboard because you're mm-hmm. not going to win.
Right. Absolutely. So this is a tough start for the Matthews squad as Latonia
and really
stays
undefeated. It's a team that they handled last year, Matthews did. Matthews
right.
beat Latonia, and, you know, what do they say? There's a new sheriff in town?
Yeah. Yep. So Latonia has gone to 2-0. This is huge for them and hoping to go 3-0 next week. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens there. Windham in the fourth quarter taking it to Lowellville 41-0. And Windham
was
so
a final.
Huh?
That's final. Just went final.
Okay.
41-0.
So, in that perspective, I mean, look what they did to Sebring last week, and look what they're doing yeah. to Lowellville this week. Windham is good, and they're putting up a ton of points.
And I think you have to wonder, you know, Lowellville lost to Latonia last week in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
The hangover has kind of, hung there.
Right.
So now all of a sudden you're 0-2, and you got to find a way to.
Just
get a
gotta,
W.
Right, just got to keep trying to move on, just trying to keep confidence up, but it's just not happening right now. And this Windham team, talk about confidence, just taking it to their opponents. Warren Harding shuts out Rhodes 40-0, a win that Warren Harding desperately needed. In the third quarter, Lisbon 33, Mineral Ridge nothing. So Lisbon continuing their onslaught so far this year. They had a good week last week, here they are again.
Lisbon's a good program.
Absolutely.
It's you know, you don't lose much year to year down there.
Right. And in the third quarter, Liberty up 14-0 on Lakeview. In the third quarter, Archbishop Hoban is taking it to Cardinal Mooney 42-7 in a game where we kind of expected to Hoban come out and dominate, but not, maybe not by this much. And Hubbard in the fourth quarter is up 42-26 on Girard. We have not confirmed that final yet, but it looks like it could be heading Hubbard's way. And just, again, that's a huge win for Hubbard.
And Edison has gone final right now over Wellsville, 36-7.
That's a big win for Edison. So, and unfortunately for Wellsville, unable to hold on, unable to stay with them in that one. Indian Creek defeated East Liverpool 36-7. Western Reserve in the third quarter up on East Palestine 34-13. That one was a little close to begin with, but Reserve is pulled away in that one. I think that was to be expected out of this Reserve squad.
I think so too, but again, you have East Palestine with Parker Sherry at quarterback, a guy that can fling the ball all over the field. So
right.
When you have a quarterback like that, you're never really out of the game.
Absolutely. And Bexley is up on Camel 16-0 in the third quarter. Final score, South Range 56, Cleveland JFK 12. A big win for South Range coming off that loss from Springfield. So they advanced to 1-1. And in the third quarter, Rittman 28, Champion nothing. So Champion unable to get anything going here.
And you know, after that game last week against JFK where they lost late, 18-15, I believe.
And now Canfield, final score there, 35-0 over Alliance. A big win for the Cardinals. And that's a team that looks pretty scary this year, especially if you're a Poland team that has to take them on in a very critical matchup.
Well, we just got a text from Eric Unger. It's 42-32 now, Hubbard over Girard.
His Girard team never quits, and you've got to respect it.
No, you have to, in the fourth quarter.
Right, and I'm really happy to see that for this Girard team, knowing, I mean, hey, look at what Hubbard has just done, 42-26, but we're not done yet. We're not done yet. The scoreboard doesn't say zeros,
no.
So we got to keep going.
Anything. That's why you play the game, Dom, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Springfield up on Brookfield 24-6, so a big game for Springfield tonight, looking to go 2-0, and I think they will. And Grand Valley up on Berkshire 35-13, so those are your scores from around the valley. A couple of Western Pennsylvania scores for you. I saw the Farrell game, yes. Farrell has taken the lead over Wilmington 31-19. Grove City hammering Greenville 53-0. Northwestern up 10-7 on Mercer area. And Slippery Rock 24, Reynolds 6. So some interesting scores there on the Western PA area. But, man, some of these games here in the Valley have just been absolutely awesome.
It'll shake up the standings.
Oh, for sure.
Let's go back to that Poland game for a minute. You know, today they win 34-7 over Niles, and, you know, Niles is struggling, but at the same time, give Poland some credit because they've won two games now on the road, looking to come home 2-0, so you know, it's a heck of a lot better than coming home 0-2.
Right, exactly.
And they're not a bad ball club. Ryan Williams is a good coach. He's got a good staff. He's got some good players. And you talk about that freshman quarterback from 4 years ago. Don't forget they have Cole Costco as well.
Right. Now, I'll ask you this, because of the Canfield-Poland rivalry, is it just all about trying to stay equal with them going all the way up to that final game? I mean, they're both 2-0 now, but is it also just trying to keep the points up high to try to make yourself look even tougher to beat? In the case of Canfield shutting out their opponent, and yes, Poland going 34-7 on Niles, but is it just all about trying to keep with the opponent?
I think all the coaches on both sides of the field, they just want to get W's, and they don't care what the perception of other people are.
Right.
But, you know, deep from within, you know, they have their locker room talk. They know what they're talking
right.
about.
Exactly.
We'll never be privy to that.
Right.
Nor do we want to be.
Right. So, yeah, I'm waiting for some of these final scores to come in. Again, we did just get the update that Girard has gone up on the board 42-32, trying to keep close. We saw that Columbiana was unable to get the win over McDonald. McDonald survives 42-35, and just waiting for some of these final scores to come in here. But just an awesome weekend for football. Do you have another one?
Fitch is now taking a 15-8 lead in the fourth quarter.
So Fitch trying to pull away now, trying to run away with it here in the final minutes. And I'd be interested to see if Erie can make some kind of comeback here in the final minutes.
Well, look at this one, too. Crestview is now, it's 28-22 over Struthers.
And Struthers, yeah, how about that? It was 28-14 just a moment ago, and Struthers saying it's not over yet. They're going to do everything they can to get back into this one. Interesting to see there. And do you think Struthers has what it takes to get back in that one?
I think Struthers has it. It's a matter of whether or not the time will allow them to do that.
Yeah.
You know, Vince Lombardi once said when he was with the Packers, he said, "We didn't lose. We just ran out of time."
Right. Exactly. I mean, and even in the case of the Girard game, it's never over till it's over.
No.
So I'm interested to see if Girard can make a run there. I'd just like to see how much time is left and who's got the ball, where they got the ball, but I'm interested to see where that
goes. I think they've both proven to us tonight that both teams can play ball.
Absolutely. Well, that just about does it for us here at the Blitz Live. A great, great weekend for football. We saw some incredible action today with the Hubbard-Girard game that really lived up to the hype as game of the week, and just some other fantastic action.
The Blitz is 1/5 over already.
I can't believe
it. 2 weeks. You believe that?
So, just an incredible week. Can't wait for week 3. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Dom Joseph, and this is Greg Gulas. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we hope to see you right here next week on the Blitz Live, presented by Flynn's Tire and Auto Service.
Good night, everybody.
Flynn's Tire and Auto Service.
Need tires? Call Flynn's first.
Where the advertised tire price is the entire price. And tell them Finney sent you.